Good evening, John Boutel.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm well. How are you, friend?
I'm fine, thank you for asking.
It's good. It's good to hear. It's good to hear your voice.
Just any voice? Doesn't matter what voice it is? Just some voice?
No, your voice.
Ah.
Well, most of the time...
Well, it's over now.
But on occasion, sometimes you actually show up in person. Like, we went and saw Django, and that was good. And
I believe he was also Unchained.
For most of the film, he was. Yes. Yes, he was. And I occasionally run into you at Dragon Con.
And we're back.
And that's how cold fusion works, just like the last time we went over it, except this time it's even more efficient.
I lost the... Oh, I forgot to record that. Now I'm going to completely forget.
Yeah, and I forgot how to do it again, so...
Oh, well.
Just when I get that idea, it's like, it's there and then it's gone. It's kind of like a...
From what I understand, your short-term memory is pretty much shot at this point.
I forgot to tell you, I think my short-term memory has been affected.
Yeah, what about your short-term memory, though?
What were we talking about? Anyway.
So what day are you going to Dragon Con?
Well, the Neat Geeks have two rooms starting Wednesday, right?
All right.
So and what about you?
She goes up on Wednesday as well, right?
I go on Wednesday, yeah.
She might go on Tuesday this year. You know why?
Because
Tuesday's the new Wednesday.
No. No, I go on the Wednesday.
She could have 2 days of lounging by the pool.
This is true. Even though the Westin pool's not that great. Actually, I really like hanging out at the either the Marriott pool or even the Hilton pool. They're both good. The Westin's enclosed. It's kind of weird. It's like a gym.
See, I didn't like the Marriott pool because it's enclosed too.
Well, it's quasi-enclosed. You have that weird little tunnel.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Partial coverage. So, did you get an airline already? Because, you know, I guess it's booked now before the big mergers occur.
No way. I think you hold out. You have to hold out till AirTran or Delta do a deal.
Right. That's what I'm waiting for right now is.
And I don't think AirTran's even booking for Labor Day weekend yet.
No, they aren't, not yet. I did get an email though, that you can now create one itinerary through AirTran and Southwest. So it becomes, you know, if you need a connecting flight, you can go through Southwest and it'll log as one itinerary now.
Oh.
Well, last year I did check Southwest. They weren't flying from Tampa to Atlanta.
Yeah, they were.
A weekend. But they were beginning the first day of September is when they started. And all the con activity actually started in the last 2 or 3 days of August. So you couldn't fly to Atlanta on Southwest from Tampa last year. But you could have flown home. Now, the thing that I continued to check and see how their Atlanta flights worked from Southwest, they had two leaving from Tampa. And both made stops other than Atlanta first. So you'd fly from Tampa to Louisville, to Atlanta, or you'd fly from Tampa to Norfolk to Atlanta.
Yes, exactly. It was crazy.
But if you went to Orlando, an hour and 10 minutes down the road, you could get a direct on Southwest.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I still have points left over from getting my...
I don't know how you did that. You got, like, the whole Atlanta thing. You went out to Seattle and back.
Yeah. And I still can go to Atlanta this year.
Unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
On their bill.
We need to book you on Help Me Rocks on how to travel. So please call 404-382-0769 and John will divulge all of his secrets. Go ahead.
Well, in this case, what I did was I bought a, not bought, but had a, there's a deal online for the Visa card, their Southwest Visa card. Now there was a $60 or $70 fee, annual fee. And, but you got like enough points to get, 4 round trip tickets or something like that. So.
Already? Really? When you sign up?
Yeah. After you, after you spend your first $100 on the card. And, so I just use it as my primary card for a while. Cause how I work with all my credit cards is I use them and I pay them off at the end of the month.
That's what I do.
I just use them for
instead of carrying cash.
Yeah. So really didn't do anything. And then so it was up for renewal recently and I canceled the card before I had to pay the renewal fee, but I get to keep the points.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they're already vested.
Wow. That's very good.
So I still have enough frequent flyer miles when I transferred them over to AirTran points to use to fly AirTran up to Atlanta this year.
Huh.
The only advantage to Southwest is the baggage.
The luggage. That's true. In fact, I would prefer
free luggage.
Yeah. Thing. I really wish they would just make that happen on AirTran too.
Yeah, I know.
So. I wish Widge was here, though.
You know, here's what's interesting.
What is it, Widge?
Steve?
No, first of all, what was really weird is that I was just upstairs minding my own business, and John's wishing power suddenly put me here at my desk in front of a microphone. So, John, please don't abuse your power.
I wish Widge was naked.
God damn it, John! Oh, wait. I was
wait,
sorry.
Wait, Widge is naked?
Yep.
Aren't
why?
We
all?
Starkers.
No, I have pants on. Why are you starkers? Widge? Why are you starkers?
Brown.
Well, I would say that that John's wishing powers made me naked, but I was already naked, so.
Haven't you learned yet, Lee, not to ask?
We're naked.
Widge is not usually a person who goes around starkers.
Well, but see Lee, I'm not
John wished it.
I'm not leaving the house.
But John wished it.
Now, carefully.
Well, I'm not leaving the house.
You wish upon a witch.
Oh, Jesus. He'll wish you into the cornfield, Lee. You better watch it.
No, that's me.
Yeah. I don't want to be in the cornfield.
Can't sing too much of that because we'll get sued immediately.
Me. I'm sorry. Did someone say can't touch this?
Burr, 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 burr.
Ba-ba.
If I wasn't busy rebuilding the soundboard, I would go looking for something for you.
Now here's my thing. I just saw a headline, Alec Baldwin's latest slur. But if that was musical, wouldn't that be like a
slur with a fringe on top?
Yeah, or a slur with a fringe on top.
Well, what slur did he make?
You what, Lee? I'm sorry, you went sort of robo.
What slur did Alec Baldwin make this time?
I don't know. That's a good question. I thought it. Let's see. Da, 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 do, do, do. Oh, okay. Apparently, he ran into a reporter and photographer. Not the same person. Apparently, they're two separate people. Although they can combine to form Mecha Shiva. They were trying to find out about a lawsuit with his wife. And let's see. The photographer says that Alec Baldwin hurled racial slurs at him. But Baldwin says, no, he yelled at him, but did not use quote-unquote derogatory epithets. Yes.
Oh, you rebuilt the soundboard.
And I'd like to point out that that sample will be used on the next album by Derogatory Epithets.
Okay. Band name, I call it.
What? Who? What?
That's a band name, I call it.
Do okay, it. Well, I have to show you something on video just for a second. Hopefully I don't break
Skype. Oh, dear God.
Oh, God.
I know.
Look, Kim, everybody be afraid.
Kim, avert your eyes.
Look, now I have the first peeps of the season.
Oh,
and
wow.
Not only are they the 60th anniversary peeps, and they have little sparkles. Little rainbow sparkles on them.
So, the 60th anniversary peeps, that means they unearthed the first peep, and they're packaging them. That's how long they'll last.
How do I turn off video?
I'm turning it off now. Hold on.
No, I just mean for me, because, like, you know.
He doesn't want to see you.
No, it's my.
He doesn't like you, really, is what he's trying to say, Lee.
First of all.
And so other things are happening.
First of all, those peeps were naked, okay?
I wish for naked peeps.
Yeah. No, they're not. They got sprinkles. They got sprinkles on them. Didn't you see the sprinkles?
Body paint, Lee. You've been body painting peeps.
Do we need to check with legal? Can we show naked peeps on the internet?
I have no idea.
There's no naked peeps on the internet.
Whoa.
I'm going to show naked peeps on the radio.
Lee, set him on fire. I am not going to set him on fire.
Video!
I'm going away!
There's no video. I don't see.
Set the peeps on fire, Lee. They're good toasted.
How do I turn off video, John? It's killing my bandwidth.
You just close the window.
Video.
Make it minimized-y.
Yeah. Make it go away. I turned mine off. It's gone now.
There's no video.
Right?
It's gone now, but it could appear at any moment.
I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to eat the peep.
Eating a naked, body-painted peep. What a pervert.
Woo, woolly wolf. They did bad things to the peep.
What?
Wait a minute.
Whoa. Show me on the peep where they touched you.
Is this like an Amnesty International thing?
I have no idea, Tuffley. I'm so lost. I just wanted to be naked.
Well, you're already naked. Well,
just take it off.
I think you're speaking of naked.
Oh,
who's naked?
Oh, you got Scott's attention.
The peeps
you don't want to know. Of course you did.
The 60th anniversary peeps with the rainbow sparkles on them that kind of look like unicorn poop, actually taste like vanilla cream, and they're not good. These are bad peeps. They don't taste like regular peeps.
Well, hang on, Lee. You're cutting it out. Did you say they taste like a yellow boob? What did you say?
I said they taste like vanilla cream.
Oh.
Vanilla, yes. And they look like unicorn poop because they got little sparkles on them.
Oh, poop! Okay, I thought I heard boob. But then again, I am male, and so normally anything that sounds like boob, my brain fills in boob. Out of context theater is your friend. Hi!
These are really gross, and I love peeps. These are bad. Yeah.
Okay. And yet she's speaking with her mouth full.
Are they the cocoa ones?
Lee knows how to do that.
Lee.
I can't follow. Oh, my God. This is awful.
Wow, Lee. Yeah,
wow.
That's
Lee,
say that slower.
No, that was gold just like it was. Oh, God, John, that was amazing.
that was the cleanup operation. After the peeps are whacked, she has to remove all evidence.
John gets good peep.
Go on and talk with your mouth full.
Hey!
I just got here, and I already feel traumatized.
Hi, Kim.
Oh, Kim.
I told you
so Hansel and Gretel.
I told you not to look at Lee's naked peeps. Wait.
Kim, you went to go see Hansel and Gretel?
We did. It was terrible.
Wait, we? You went along, Tuffley?
We did it together.
Okay.
Oh, Kim,
Tuffley, you should realize.
Whoa.
I was so
Hang on. Only three of you at once. Kim, what is your review of Hansel and Gretel?
It's really, 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 really bad.
But wow. Jeremy ready?
So bad, it makes you giggle, at least if you're me.
But, no, she felt gypped for the complete lack of Renner she got to see.
But Renner is not naked at all, so it's really kind of a cheat.
Whoa. Like even topless Renner?
To show nothing but like the tops of his shoulders.
He barely took his shirt off.
He didn't take his shirt off? Well, that's just not right.
Okay.
You see like
a 2-second flash of ab, just enough to tease. And then he puts his shirt up.
Hold on just a second, Witch. I'm sorry. Let us explain something, people. When we go to see a Jeremy Renner movie, really, we're only there for certain things, about 90% of the audience. Some people, because their wife sees it on the
Jeremy Renner movie.
There's I've really never went to one.
He was half naked in.
Was he? I need to get that. Yeah. Is it on Netflix? Yeah.
I think
so. I just want to back
up. Do I have to watch another Jeremy Renner film, really?
No, wait. Well, hang on.
That bad.
Oh, my God.
Bad.
Tasering people. Listen. Tuffley, I need to back up. Because the way you said that he didn't even take his shirt off, I just want to know, was that your disappointment that I was hearing, or were you being disappointed on behalf of your wife, or some combination of both?
I was echoing my wife's disappointment.
I see. That is support, ladies and gentlemen. That is support. That is love.
I hear about it a fair amount.
And you know you have a geek wife. When she takes the husband not to some stupid romantic comedy, but to a bad genre movie. That is geek love.
You need to watch geek love. You need to watch The Unusuals. He spent a good period of time in that series with his shirt off.
I told him to watch that show.
Geek love.
I think it's actually on Amazon Prime, Kim.
Yay!
Geek love.
I'm going to look. Right now,
it looks like it is. It does look like it is on Amazon Prime.
It is.
And it's actually a really good show, as I've said previously.
Hey, bonus!
It's a bonus! Yay!
Great. I don't have to sit through 13 hours of ass. Great.
Well, I think there's only like...
Now, 14 hours of ass isn't that bad.
Hold on, Tuffles, it depends on what you mean by ass.
Watch Torchwood.
Naked ass or...
No. I'm talking about real porn, not the fake shit that Torchwood tried to make.
The upshot is it's only 10 episodes. So you really only have to sit through 10 episodes. But they're not ass.
Okay.
Well, John, I mean, really, I don't know that Scott is interested in that particular kind of shot.
Nice.
There are unless, shots I'm interested in.
Now, unless that's a technical term for, like, the arc of travel, but I don't know. I wouldn't know.
I will say, though, that the eventual riff tracks of that movie will probably be spectacular.
Now let me ask you, Kim, because you said it was so bad you were giggling. Is it so bad that can it be good on its own, or must it be a... get everybody together, drink a lot of alcohol, and MST3K it yourself kind of good? Or is it completely irredeemable?
I actually kind of enjoyed myself, but it was the sort of enjoyment where you're spending the whole time groaning and rolling your eyes. Like, it was so terrible, and it probably would have been even more that way if I had seen it in 3D, because I understand the 3D is very much, and now the witch's head flies out of the camera at you. Like, it's very pancakes.
She described my first sexual experience,
Very pancakes?
Dr. Terror's House of Pancakes.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
We're going to take your geek cred back.
But, well,
Kim, it's me on Amazon Prime.
Wait. Time out. Rocks?
What?
Scott has geek cred?
Well, we pretend.
Well, technically, since he does have a crowd of followers at Dragon Con, does that give you geek cred, or is that just because you owe people money? I'm not sure.
Oh, shit!
Fantastic. Oh, my God. So,
Kim, I don't know if you heard it, but it is free on Amazon Prime, The Unusuals.
Excellent. I'll have to put that maybe this weekend.
Woo-hoo, baby.
So, yeah, I mean, you get the feeling that they're trying to be deliberately anachronistic and sort of B-movie cheesy. But then sometimes it's like, oh, wait, no, now we're going to be serious for like 3 seconds. It's kind of weird. Like, I would keep turning to Tuffley and making some little snarky comment about, oh, now it's going to do this. And then, like, that's what it would do next.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like that kind of thing.
So you would make a riff and then it would happen in the very next scene.
You'd be like, ooh, I didn't think they'd actually, ooh, yeah, they did that.
like the little geeky fan of like Hansel and Gretel when Gretel gets in trouble and he saves her, and you know, the riff is, oh boy, here's my chance because she's unconscious, you know?
Ew.
And the very next scene, she's unconscious and he's wiping off her boob.
Boob?
What?
It's like, that's
like borderline.
I'm gonna sponge the dirt off your face.
Well, okay, just
sponge the dirt off your mouth.
Just to be clear. Just to be clear, did someone say boob or poop? Because I had a problem with that earlier.
That was boob. That was boob.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you. Just checking.
There's nothing worse than confusing boob and poop.
I know.
They're
in a lot of trouble.
Literally.
John, okay, there are. Wait, Lee, let me just say this. John, there are exactly four things worse than that, but we won't go into it. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, and like the it's one of those things, like, you know, they're trying to be anachronistic
Lee's
and they're not
changed.
Trying to be in a specific time period, just like ye oldie. But it was so weird because they had like, you know, a doublet and slacks.
There's a guy wearing a doublet and Dockers. It's just weird.
Like the mix.
Really?
Yeah.
Sort of Victorian stuff and bits of sort of Ren Faire.
Oh my God. It's like, remember when the D&D movie came out, Dungeons and Dragons, and the one guy had like sweatsuits on? It's like, what the hell are you guys wearing?
It's like Gretel is wearing on her top half, she's like a tavern wench at the Ren Faire, and on her bottom half, she's wearing leather pants. And
so she's
like
a tavern wench at the Ren Faire.
Shit. Like, it's my Gatling clockwork unfolding shotgun.
It's like, oh, hey, we can meld steampunk with
this. Is
yeah, it's like they tried to be a little bit steampunk, a little bit Dickens, a little bit like ye oldie, and it's just weird. It really feels so, like
you watch like, this film and you really think to yourself, well, I'm never doing that DM scenario again.
Yes, it looks like the it looks like a bath part that they costumed out of the bargain bin of the dealer's room at Dragon Con. And then they like recruited some random urchins from the Oliver Twist production next door and kind of stirred it all up. And then they brought in Renner and told him, now basically, we want you to play this like Hawkeye's undercover at the Ren Faire.
Well, now, Kim, let me just ask you, what percentage on a scale of just 1 to 100, how much of this was people who were trying to come up with ideas for Van Helsing 2 and it never happened, so they had to use them somewhere?
Okay. No, Van Helsing had a plot compared
it's
to
like
this.
It's like they said, okay, well, let's do something like Van Helsing.
That's bad.
Seriously. It's like if Van Helsing was produced by the Sci-Fi Channel, but
Wow.
I mean, it's really bad, you guys. As bad as you think it is, it's worse than that.
Compared to this, Manos has deep emotional moments.
Oh, wow. I like Manos.
And they stole shit. That whole, you know, cleaning up the boob after you're unconscious, that's from when dead men don't wear plaid.
Like, as a film by itself, like if you were just going to sit down and watch a movie, this one would be more enjoyable to watch by itself than Manos. If you didn't have, like, the commentary on Manos.
Yeah. That is true.
Worry. Like, there's just long stretches of time where nothing much happens. Because at least in this one, it's bright and colorful, and you get to look at Jeremy Renner in a poet blouse.
I'd like to also take this opportunity to point out to some of our younger listeners that Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is not a Scottish zombie movie.
Nice.
That's a sad state. That's a sad comment on our youth. That they don't know that.
Or a sad state.
I think, like, there was somebody sitting behind us in the theater. We were on, like, the front row of the middle part. You know how they do? Not the part down. Like, you come in and there's a flat space and there's stairs up and stairs down. We were on the front row of just as you come in. And, like, kind of middle. And there was somebody behind us. And, like, I hate this person. I never turned around to look at them because I did not want to give a face to my hatred.
Oh, was that the guy who said, not everything is funny?
Yes!
Did you pay for this film? Yeah, it's funny.
In the same movie as me. And he had, like, a horrible post-nasal drip or something, because the whole movie, this guy was sitting here going, like,
Wow.
I thought he wasn't snorting cocaine to make, like, the movie better.
That he was going to sneeze over my head into my popcorn at any moment. It was really revolting. And then, like,
oh, that's disgusting!
Thanks. Well, Kim, better that than prenasal drip. Yeah, just, like, trust me.
Attention to
I thought that was the movie.
What, prenasal drip?
No, the noise. Oh. I thought that was the movie.
No, that was the guy behind us.
Tuffley's like, man, this THX is weird as shit.
I'm trying to figure out, why is that constant grinding noise happening? Wait.
No, that was the
It's guy. The monster from Lost.
Ah. That would make about as much sense as the rest of the movie.
It's me trying to drive a stick shift.
Yeah.
I will say this about the Dungeons and Dragons film, though. In its, the only thing I can say to defend it. Well, no, there's two things. Number one, you got to hear Jeremy Irons, wasn't it? Wasn't he in that?
Yeah.
He was in that.
You got to hear him deliver the line, "Their blood will rain from the sky," which ranks up there with Christopher Lambert in Mortal Kombat for just sheer insanity. But the second thing is, it did give Marlon Wayans something to do while he was also working on, at the same time, Requiem for a Dream. And if you were working on Requiem for a Dream, you would be grateful for Dungeons and Dragons.
You're like, man, I need a break.
True that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things where... And the thing is, like, ordinarily in a film like that, I would have some things to say about, like, the inherent misogyny of the film, because the message of the film is basically, if you're ugly, you're evil, and you should die, especially if you're a girl.
Oh, that's always that's awesome. Not true.
That's what? A great thing.
Whoa, hang on.
What's wrong with that?
Wait, hang on. I just want to be clear on this. So did they leave out the part about supernatural powers? Were the witches actually just ugly chicks?
No, they were magic. They were good witches, too. And the way you could tell the difference was good witches were pretty.
Yes.
Good witches are pretty and bad witches are ugly. That's the thing.
And I bet the good witches also
were
good.
Put it another way to help out the internet here.
Gets naked and tries to lure Hansel into the magic pool to bathe, in which point he somehow manages to take off all his clothes and get into the magic pool and you don't see anything. Even though
okay, see, that just... That is poor photography.
Guys, ladies, relax. Okay, trust me.
There will be Scott.
No, hang on. There will be an unrated Blu-ray. You'll be okay.
Yeah, but they'll probably just have more of the lady.
Can I ask what the naughty witches look like? Slower.
Horrors. Bad skin.
They have, like, crackly skin and nasty
crackles.
And, like, in other words, they weren't witches, they were crack whores.
So they work at Mons Venus, is what you're saying.
That's mouth.
Hey, just now, the girls at Mons Venus are actually pretty attractive. I was surprised about that.
Serve?
Okay, let's say day shift at Hot Topic.
Wait a minute. So were you saying, I missed some of that. The naughty witches were covered in cracklin? What? Sorry.
No, they had, like, cracked skin.
Oh, so basically, so you, okay, here's what I don't understand. So you're a witch, right? You have supernatural powers, right? Enough that it warrants Hawkeye joining a Renfest to fight you, okay?
bad head.
Who's that?
Bad head, no such thing.
Oreo cookie. Oh, sorry. I thought we were going
to. Kim, you know where my brain just went, right?
No, none of us do, Lee. Because
oh my god.
You scary woman.
What's Kim's fault?
Wait. Was that a Story of O reference?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
But you were making your O face.
No, I was making my owl face.
No, you weren't.
Oh,
no, you weren't. You naughty girl.
No, she doesn't want to be naughty. That means she has crackling skin.
That's right. Anyway. Naughty means, like, I'm falling apart. Ugly.
Perhaps you guys misunderstood what I meant by naughty.
Okay, so, like, the head witch is the only person...
Hang on, Tuffley, what was that?
So, like, the head witch is the only person that can actually make themselves look pretty via spell.
The head witch,
magic,
huh?
Which is probably the question you were getting to.
Yes.
And that's Bobka Jensen.
Yeah. The head witch was Lee's porn name, wasn't it?
That's the funniest part.
Wow. So,
when we got done watching this movie,
nice.
I had a burning question. And that burning question was, how the hell much money did they pay Renner to be in this piece of shit? And so the internet, unfortunately, did not yield that easily.
Well, I bet we can find that.
Internet, somebody tell me, because I'm very curious as to how much money it took to get him in this, even though it was actually filmed a couple years ago. Well, so maybe not as much as it would have.
By the way, if anyone listening goes to Comic-Con and you actually get to ask Renner a question, make sure that's the question you ask.
Please and keep it.
What was that, Lee?
Oh, I was trying to find this out. Instead, I found an interview with Famke Janssen, who was talking about how she had never acted with that much prosthetic makeup on before, and she was very worried that her performance was going to go over the top.
Wow.
Let me just say that, just like Jeremy Irons, just like Christopher Lambert, you sometimes have to do what I call the Anthony Hopkins method, where you realize you're in Bram Stoker's Dracula and you realize it's shit. And so you just basically have to deliver lines like this. She is the devil's concubine! Waha!
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking up something and I want to give the best answer ever that I've heard from Paramount Pictures for why they pushed Hansel and Gretel back to 2013 is because they were concerned that moviegoers would suffer from Renner overload and really thought it would a better safe bet to put this out in 2003. That's why they held this off, folks. That is the best bit of BS I've ever heard.
It's for our safety. I like that.
Isn't Paramount the same studio that pulled G.I. Joe?
The other thing was...
It's coming back.
It's coming back. Yeah.
You know how in the, at the beginning of the movie, there's all the little animated, I don't know what they're called.
Bumpers, the opening titles.
Production companies.
Yes.
You know, and so usually there's two. You know,
this probably had what? No, I don't know. It's getting a lot now. You go through 10 of them.
That's on this movie. It's like everyone gave them $10,000 or something. It's like nobody was willing to go all in on this one. It just kept going and going.
They did it through Kickstarter.
They
Kickstartered Hansel and Gretel.
They just kind of kept folding the cards. Yeah, no, I'll be blind. You be a little blind. But yeah, no, we're not playing anymore. Okay.
I'm waiting for I don't know, Firehouse Subs to produce a film and, you know, you start seeing stuff like that.
You go into this film and the first shot after the opening credits you see is old timey milk bottles that have woodcut missing children things tied around them with twine.
Nice.
That's pretty much what you're getting right there.
Wow. That's actually hilarious.
Yeah, that's not a bad.
Yeah, that's great. No, I will say this. Kim. Kim, you should brace yourself for this. The production budget was $50 million. Their domestic total so far is $50 million, but they've made $150 million worldwide.
Yeah, we know. We looked that up.
Oh, okay.
That means only a second one, doesn't it?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, this.
Well, no, because they're going to have to pay Renner more.
No, but I will say this, is that this film does have Peter Stormare in it, and Peter Stormare automatically gets you a half a cup.
Who is he playing?
Is he the sheriff?
He's the guy who was in Fargo and Brothers Grimm and Minority Report and character actor, crazy guy. Hang on. I will tell you who he played.
Oh, that just narrows it down.
Well, no, I mean, he is in fucking everything. I think he was in Last Stand too, so he's busy, which is good.
He's in my house right now.
Is he protecting you from Stray Cat Guy?
Yeah. Wait, I thought Daft Punk was playing in your house.
Wait, what's a Stray Cat Guy? What?
That's next week. Oh, you know.
Brian
Setzer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, next behind me. They've been quiet neighbors so far.
I mean, are they buried in your basement or?
No, he owns the property behind me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was the sheriff.
He's a horrible, horrible landlord, man.
Yeah, he was the sheriff. He doesn't go very long in this film.
Well, man, spoiler alert.
Spoilers!
He actually makes it probably half the way through.
Spoilers!
Do you really think anybody can really spoil this piece of shit?
No,
John,
I've already given you the most important spoiler.
That there's no
not enough to make it Jeremy Renner.
There's no Renner Ashot.
Exactly. There's no Renner Ashot. That is all I needed to know about this movie.
You know, Renner Ashot was Scott's porn name.
I'll just go ahead and spoil
Renner
another film.
Ashot or Ascot?
Well, there's neither. So, like, I mean, he's got the whole thing. He has a poet blouse, a leather vest, like a leather trench coat over top of it all.
Well, well, Kim, careful. You're exciting Scott.
Shotgun thing.
And by did this shotgun scatter?
Okay.
Did it splatter?
Scott, do it again.
Oh, it's also got the guy.
Scott, you can keep the camera off. It's fine. It's okay.
So my question, I think. What?
It's the picture you just sent us. The guy behind the guy who plays the sheriff, you can tell the sheriff's in the front of the shot. Is the second guy the guy who played Lupin?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think it looks like it.
I was just going to say, I think the question that most ladies want to know about Jeremy Renner is, so to speak, is his shotgun sawed off?
Ooh. Well, you're not going to find out in that film.
Well, then, fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yes, and
I'm just saying, he did not have sleeves the entire Avengers. He can't throw us a bone.
Whoa!
Hey. Or his bone.
I have 3D.
Just don't get the squirty kind.
Pancakes.
I mean, come
Would you
on.
Like some syrup?
John, pistol grip pump by Cypress Hill. Go.
Okay.
By the way, Kim, if that film comes out, I'm not going with. Sorry. You can enjoy that film by yourself.
God help us all. It actually make it slightly more enjoyable if you pretend that it's actually supposed to be like Hawkeye undercover at a Ren Faire fighting Hydra or something.
Okay, stop. Please stop saying that. Hawkeye at a Ren Faire. Oh, that's... Ow. Stop it.
I mean, the performance...
Kim should know. She's been to Ren Faire.
I've been to Ren Faire, but the point is Kim's putting it out there, and somewhere on the internet, somebody just went,
It's already done, Lee.
Oh, really? Not.
It's already done.
John!
Yes, sir. Hawkeye Fair starts, I don't know, a couple weeks in Gainesville. I'm sure there's going to be some
jerk. No, it's already done.
It's done? What? What?
Yeah, it's done.
It's done?
Yes, sir.
Shotgun down the avalanche. Sean Colvin, go.
Crap. How did I... Thanks, Scott.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Scott, for ruining the Ren Faire that already happened.
I know! Yeah! I could have maybe tried to go. Crap.
Well, Rox, you can come back to Atlanta and we have another one coming soon.
Yeah,
coming in May?
Hey, Scott.
Yeah?
Thanks for looking at a fucking calendar, buddy.
I know!
How dare you!
Well, that's more than the producers of Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters ever did.
I didn't think they did it in January.
Way to look.
Crap. All right.
I mean, the most appealing character in that movie is the animatronic troll.
Wait a minute. There's an animatronic troll, not a CGI troll?
Yes,
that gets a point. That gets a point.
I don't think they could have afforded CG at that point.
I would like to vote that the animatronic troll should show up at the Hall of Presidents and they should all team up and attack it.
Animatronic troll, never mind.
Onomatopoeia?
What?
Ren Faire starts in Tampa.
His name
weekend.
Was Edward.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Edward the troll?
Yes, Edward the troll.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And in his spare time, he plays guitar with Van Halen.
That landed one place.
Wow. That's like... Toughly, that was such a weird arc to hit its target that I'm certain Sherlock Holmes will be investigating you via laptop shortly.
Which Sherlock Holmes, though? The one on CBS or the one on BBC?
There's no CBS. Did that, talking about?
Or what, did, what are you talking about?
Did I report that I had actually watched the first episode of that?
I'm so sorry.
Elementary? No. Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You did.
Okay.
How bad was it?
Well, here's the sad bit, is that I could see where it actually could have been interesting, but they just forced everything way, way too hard, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, it's very obvious that you're Dr. Watson. You've got
yeah. Yeah, like, we watched the first episode, and I was... Okay, so I'm...
You're like Sherlock Holmes, but you've got all these tattoos, which means you have a past.
So... I'm the big Sherlock Holmes person, and I think part of the reason Mike wanted me to watch it was he was convinced I was going to be all upset and like rant amusingly.
Yeah.
But it was so bland and uninspiring that I couldn't even rant. I was like, meh.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
Like, it was a bland procedural with a kind of cute British guy in the lead that they called Sherlock Holmes, but he's in fucking New York. Sherlock Holmes is not in New York.
Well, and I can see where, here's the sad bit. I can see where, a series like this could have worked.
Part of the problem is, if you called it House MD, but go on.
No, but I mean, part of the problem is that you've had better procedurals like House and even, Vincent D'Onofrio in, Honor of Criminal Intent, right? So you had that problem, but bits where it was obvious that some writer on there somewhere had at least tried, like explaining how, that they knew, you know, Aidan Quinn, New York cop, would know Sherlock Holmes from Scotland Yard. Just I'm a big fan of it. All it takes sometimes is like one line to explain something.
Yeah.
And so one line about, oh, well, you know, I came over to do some consulting after, you know, 9/11 to talk to Scotland Yard and their anti-terrorist group, and he was working with them. I'm like, done. You've just covered
it. Exactly. You're like, okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah, done. Thank you. That's all I needed. But so little things like that made me wish they had just stopped trying so fucking hard.
Oh my God. Okay. This will make a great episode. The U.S. revokes his visa. So he has to marry Watson to get a green card. That'd be great. Yeah,
someone has already written that story.
Probably season two.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I didn't
even bother with the show. It's like, I saw the premise and I saw the extended first look and I'm like, oh no, no, no.
Well, you want to feel real bad? Guess what? It's the top ranked new show, drama, and it's going to be, renewed.
My neighbors love it. It's like,
but what is that? 9 million viewers? I mean, that's not very much.
Yeah. You know, King of the Nerds is pretty big too.
Yes,
Well, I know, again, I hate it too.
Although Throne of Games is pretty funny, but anyway.
I mean,
hang on, Tuffley first, go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at it, like, what does NCIS do right now? What, 17 million a week?
18 million a week, yeah.
Okay, I think just so one, just Lee.
Elementary gets half that audience and is still the best new show, the top rated show on new show on network television. How the hell does that happen?
Well, it's half because they don't have Hark Marmon.
That is a part of it. But also, just remember, there's so little that all of us are watching on network TV anymore. It's just sad. Overall, No bark. Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Yeah, I was going to say, think about, okay, so
are you talking to your husband?
Hey, go Tuffley.
So that lineup that Elementary is in, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's Big Bang Theory, Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men, is it still Survivor? No, they moved Survivor. Person of Interest.
Still after Person of Interest?
Yeah, it's still after Person of Interest.
Which is such a superior show. Or at least, I mean... granted, I'm judging it by the pilot. I never watched it again after the pilot, so it might have gotten better.
Well, here's what's interesting is that...
Person of Interest, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 million viewers. So basically, between Person of Interest and when Elementary starts, lots of people leave.
Well, I'm just glad it was supposed to be called Man of Interest, but then they realized that was really sexist and they changed it.
All
right. So what does everyone think that, you know, Hannibal will do? That's NBC's latest. Let's drag out.
Yeah. watch it. If a tree falls on NBC, will anyone actually see it?
Well, now, Toughly, the only thing I'll say is they really have, like, brought out a cast for that fucking thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I
Lawrence Fishburne's in it.
But they're gonna put it on Thursday night, and they've already killed three dramas on Thursday night.
But Lawrence Fishburne was on CSI at one point, so.
Yeah.
Doesn't really say much about Lawrence Fishburne. But,
no, whoa. I will say this, though. Thank fuck for Lawrence Fishburne, because otherwise, all you would have had in the movie Predators was, now granted, this is cool, Yakuza versus Predator, but I could have watched that as a short film. But when Lawrence Fishburne showed up, it was like, oh, thank fuck, Lawrence Fishburne is here. And then when Lawrence Fishburne left, oh my God, Lawrence, come back.
Did Neo show up at any point? Because I've never seen it. Speaking of television, how caught up are you on The Following?
I've only watched the second episode.
So you're two behind. Yeah.
No, I'm
behind. As of last night.
Behind what?
An eight ball. But
he's doing an eight ball right now.
Enjoy that.
it's a very large eight ball. It's a very large eight ball because I have to, you know, cover up stuff.
I'm just drinking cider wedge.
So this would make Kim and Rox probably pretty happy.
What?
My hubby has gotten into Downton Abbey because he was taping it for his mom and watching it together. And now he has gotten my child addicted.
I have actually never watched Downton Abbey.
You know, here's the thing.
Hang on. Rox, go ahead.
Oh. I'm still more of an upstairs downstairs person. Okay, here's the weird thing is, yes, I love effort. Maggie Smith. She's awesome and fantastic.
She is so awesome.
She's you know who is just as good as Eileen Atkins? And I've been watching lately Doc Martin. We're at fifth season, and she's amazing.
I heard that's good.
I have a pair of Doc Martens.
I have not actually watched it, but I've heard good things.
But Eileen Atkins, who was made a dame like a couple of years ago, so she ranks up there with Maggie Smith. You know, she was also in the revised Upstairs Downstairs, which I liked it because they put that into like closing towards World War II. I've seen all that stuff in Upstairs Downstairs, the whole Downton Abbey thing.
Actually, you know,
so
like,
it's like, go ahead.
I've seen like two episodes of Downton, and the only way I can get through it is if I pretend there's a zombie horde outside of the house.
Oh fuck, I would love that.
Which you got your next story.
That way, Maggie Smith is in the British Walking Dead, and that's so much cooler than that show actually is.
Well, Toughly, you know, I actually put the idea out on Twitter that what you need to do is imagine whatever the house name is for Downton Abbey, if that was, you know, plant that into the middle of Game of Thrones.
Is the house not Downton Abbey?
No, the name of the family, like House Lannister.
Oh, okay.
Right. No.
You know who actually owns the actual house that they use?
Yeah, it's some guy.
Rox.
Oh, it's the Knarfin family.
It's me.
No, it's the family. One of their ancestors was the one that funded King Tut's tomb's excavation.
Carnarvon, whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Carnegie? That's a different guy altogether.
Carnivore? That's me.
I thought you were an omnivore.
I am a sort of...
Jesus.
Lee, are you...
I didn't say it.
Lee likes meat. That's what she's trying to say.
He's still eating peeps.
Lee, is your mouth full again?
Carnarvon. Carnarvon.
See, I know what it is.
I can't get it out.
Lee thinks that carnivore means that you like to eat circus folk.
That's carnivore.
No, that's not.
I just took your joke and explained it.
Great. So that's how that show ended. Thank you, spoiler.
Oh, wow.
Serve, did you finish House of Cards?
I did.
Okay, I'm like I'm two away from finishing it. And that is a good show. So catch it on that.
Don't we all there's going to be more coming.
Yeah.
Like what?
There's
going to
be more coming because it ends with a cliffhanger.
Yes, it does.
Okay. I'd like to point out that not every show that ends with a cliffhanger, that doesn't mean they come back, serve. I mean, I hate to break it to you.
Oh, with this, they're coming. You know, Spacey's a producer on that show. So
yeah, it's only on Netflix. So
it's only on Netflix, and it's done really, really well. I mean, it's sort of funny. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Is, you know, once they put all of the episodes on, everybody started doing the binge watching. I think that whole weekend, you know, I think several people from Slate Magazine were writing, "Yeah, I binged the entire, you know, 13 hours of, you know, House of Cards and stuff." So,
and you know, we probably would have if we hadn't started late.
Well, the funny thing is like we already know about binge watching. You know, these people are late at the party. You know, they think it's like something new. I mean, how many times have we all bought, you know, a box DVD of something and you binge watch it? You know,
I was binge watching the fifth season of The Wire again. I keep hoping, I keep hoping that Omar at the end changes for Omar, but it does not.
Yeah, that happens.
Television.
Yeah, I was just looking at lists of cliffhangers that never got resolved, like the series. Yeah.
Yeah, but did we want that resolved?
Is that Vagina the series? Is that what that was?
Okay, Lee.
No. Oh, Vagina Monologues are like what, 25 years old now?
Wait, Lee. Wait, Widge, did you actually want to know if they ended up going to the lizard planet?
Well, David Icke does. I just like to point out, Lee, you need to stop eating peeps because
they are reducing.
Okay, first of all, Lee, you have to admit you have a problem first and then you can fix it. But your exposure to that sparkly shit is making you, is taking what vocabulary you have and throwing it out the window. You're just making guttural noises.
Lee, let me ask you about this peep. Did they make them old? I mean, what is the problem with the peep?
I can't get it out.
Old?
No, it's supposedly supposed to taste like vanilla cream, and it doesn't. Had one a minute ago, and he said it tastes like birthday cake, and it doesn't. It tastes nasty.
So are these like vanilla disco peeps? What are these?
Yeah, these are kind of vanilla disco peeps. I mean, they honestly kind of look like what unicorns would poop. They're like rainbow unicorn poop.
They should have called it glitter and tears.
Obsession with rainbow with.
Well, you know, unicorns poop rainbows.
I read rainbows.
I think I missed that episode, Lee. When did that happen?
It happened on Portlandia. During the steampunk episode skit.
I was going to ask you what you thought about that, Ross.
I thought it was funny. I really did. I love Portlandia. It's a great show. So, yes, I've been watching that. And
it's not a bad place either.
No, they did a public service announcement where this geek girl is, you know, talking about her interests like Spider-Man and stuff. And then a real geek guy walks by and it's like, "I'm a real geek." And, you know, it goes into
the PSA.
That was really awesome. Cool. And then, I think it was in the same episode that they had this. Oh my God. It was so funny. They did a skit on, the local steampunk group and they were trying to track down this girl who left the group. And of course they did a cool thing because there's always somebody that just, this one guy in the group has the Nerf gun that's just painted, but it's not really a Nerf gun. It makes noise. And they keep telling him to stop and stuff. So everybody's costumes are varying of really good to really bad.
So it's like the SCA, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, well, it's steampunk now. So, I mean, there was an answer on Jeopardy just yesterday for steampunk. It's like, really?
just let it go. Anyway. So
that's
yeah.
when you know your movement is officially over, right?
I think, yeah.
Oh,
I still like
okay,
it.
Okay, my favorite.
It's good to make fun of it.
I was looking at XKCD today, and they had, you know how he does, like, little jokes in the alt text of his different
stuff? Yes.
There was one that cracked me up for, like, 5 minutes, and it was, hipster CDC says flu epidemic was over years ago. Oh, no, flu epidemic peaked years ago.
What?
It was a hipster.
Because it's the hipster CDC.
So is that the Cobb Energy Center?
Yeah, yeah. Probably.
Of course.
That just made me laugh. Yeah.
So, Widge, what'd you think of the second episode of The Following?
So far I'm still pleased.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a worry though that they can't keep it going?
I have a
worry.
It can't be a continuing series if you
No.
It has to be three seasons, maybe tops. Because
isn't that what you said about Lost?
It very well might be, and I very well was accurate.
Well, you know, technically, if you cut
you're right.
Whoa, hang on, Tuffley, what were you saying?
I was going to say, technically, if you cut out two seasons of Lost, you do get. If you cut out all the filler from Lost, you actually do get three seasons of Warrior.
Three exactly. good seasons, yeah.
Nice.
True.
I mean, because you can't keep. Well, let's put it this way: you could have Kevin Bacon's character continue on, but you can't keep Joe Carroll going for too long, right? Because at some point, somebody just goes, you know, seriously, are we going to allow this to continue to happen?
But then it just becomes 24, doesn't it? Like, everybody else dies, but somehow Kiefer magically survives every season.
I think on this one, I mean, it kind of the problem Millennium had in a lot of ways, which is there can only be so many serial killers. And in this case, you can only chase someone and his followers for so long.
Well, didn't they try to get away with that, though? Get away from that with Millennium, though? The last, I think, year and a half of that show?
Yes.
They tried to get out of the serial killer of the week thing, but then
it didn't make damn sense.
Yeah.
Well, the deal is that they're not necessarily all serial killers. They are strictly killers. And
natural born.
Yeah. Yes, very well. Very well done, sir.
And
as
to be fair,
to factory processed.
Well, no. To be fair, some of them are parallel killers. Not even John.
I got it. It took me a minute. It's been a while since I've had to do a serial porn joke.
Yeah, that's old school.
I am old school.
Oh, my dot matrix is going left and right.
Which that wasn't a throwback. That was a kickback.
Which, please put on some pants.
No.
No, I wish him to not be naked. I wish him to be naked.
The person with the disco peeps.
I only ate half of one. The 13-year-old ate a whole one.
I need a moment.
But...
Okay.
Don't worry, it's just a moment.
I regret nothing.
You?
It's efficiency.
Dear God. Yeah, trying to sell that one to a woman.
Whoa. I don't have to.
Well, he doesn't have to sell them to women.
I don't think that's the point.
That's not the point for Scott, yeah.
Not for Scott.
What?
There's a point to Scott?
What?
He has a disco shirt.
He certainly
he has a
hopes
sparkly
so.
Disco shirt.
Yes,
things
thousands.
Have become unsettling.
Yeah, thousands
point
of to
Tuffley. Point to Tuffley.
Swing that shirt together.
Mm. Oh, Serve. If you see it, the Shock Top End of the World Midnight Wheat, pretty tasty.
It wasn't bad. I tried it. It was.
Did you try it?
Yeah, it was good. It was nice. It wasn't great, but it was good.
It wasn't great, but it was tasty, and it was nice. It was a nice sipping beer. I love the name of it. That made me
okay, happy. So we need to talk about Maker's Mark, right?
Oh,
no,
wow.
Not anymore. They went back.
I know, but it's like, why lower the alcohol content and then get the ire? Was it to make it cheaper?
So they could spread it out. They were going to water it down so that they would have more barrels.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was cheaper. I think also just kind of like New Coke, it was also a little bit of a PR stunt. I think it was half and half. If nobody said anything about it, then yay, they're going forward and it's cheaper. Not that they were going to lower the price.
It didn't do anything for it, though.
Right. No. And if people said something about it, then okay. Oh, well, we've listened to our loyal fans. You know, it's a PR stunt. It was either, it was 50-50.
It was a poor PR stunt.
No. The maker's mark that was made with the lower proof has essentially become a collector's item.
Oh.
And it's sold out. They've sold out everywhere pretty much where that is.
We sold out of
so,
lesser alcohol.
Well, it's kind of ironic.
I read something somewhere. I did read something somewhere. Somebody actually tasted it and said over ice didn't taste really a difference. I mean, and that's kind of the issue. In all honesty, you're not going to get, as much as they were lowering it, you're not going to get much of a difference.
Well,
you're going to get a difference between.
I know, but I couldn't help but notice because of this, they had to throw on a lot of commercial. You know, to me, it seemed like that they had to dole out a lot of commercial time, you know, spending a little bit more money. I was watching PTI and it's like, I think I saw like 3 Maker's Mark commercials, you know, within the half an hour. It's like,
Yeah, and I agree with you, but what bothers me about that is how quickly those commercials came out. They announced, and I can't remember the exact date. Let's use this as an example. They announce it on Monday, okay, that they're doing this. It goes out on Wednesday. On Thursday, they say, yes, we've listened to our customers. We're going backwards. And on Friday, and on Thursday, they do that, and they have the commercials ready to go Thursday after they made the announcement. That's too fast to not already have those in the can.
But I wonder if they have, I think if anything with ad agencies and stuff, sometimes they already have a stock of commercials. I mean, I didn't see the Twitterverse of this, you know, cause certain stuff can go viral really quickly.
A lot of the feeds I watch on alcohol, which I do. a lot of those actually went kind of
crazy. So what's
crazy
on your flipboard, Lee?
What? I'm sorry?
What's on your flipboard,
Lee? I know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sexual reference.
It's Epicurious and then all alcohol.
Yeah. I started listing them individually and then I just said booze and I'm good. you're pretty good on that. So, yeah. But I'll be honest. I actually got a taste of something called, if I'm correct, it's called Booker's, and it's even tastier. So, hey, small batch. Pretty good stuff, too. So, hey.
Yeah, you're afraid that Jeremy Renner is a small batch.
We didn't see anything in Hansel and Gretel. I'm pretty pissed.
Who's dinging?
That would be John. His little box is lighting up.
Does that mean I'm done? I'm done. I can go.
Nice.
Wait,
no,
we
don't
get a zine pack.
Recommendations.
Rocks, don't go. All the plants are going to die.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's Robo Aaron. Where's our little bendy Irishman?
He's asleep.
It's
like
late.
4 a.m. there.
Yeah, Thursday.
I'm eating a donut. I don't care.
I think he's still recovering from the last time he was on this show.
Fucking classic.
My God, that was hysterical.
we need the evil drunken Aaron back more often.
He was just hysterical.
Oh, bleeding from the ears. All right, so Lee, my dog upstairs is like barking because of, anyway. All right, so.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, well, she's in that cone too, so she can hear you really well.
Is she still in her cone?
Her tail isn't better yet. In fact, when I took her out earlier today, she was like, oh, what's that back there? A tail. I'm like, no, leave her tail alone. So, yes, cone apocalypse. I have no idea. We're going back to the doctor. Her tail's not getting better. She's got like Jiffy Pop, that too. Jiffy Pop hot spot on her tail. It's nasty.
Poor little baby.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like Disney was remaking the Manitou. That's what it is. It's fucking awful. There, there's my Manitou joke for the month.
I can imagine, though, the cone. That would be sort of like if you lived in the old Doctor Who credit sequence.
Ooh, yeah.
What a living nightmare.
Oh, like, I can see a tell puppy in the cone. And we're just, like, throwing treats at her. And she's like, she can't catch them with her mouth, but they go in the cone. And then she's like, trying to get them out and circling.
She's trying to flip the cone to get the food in.
Oh, no.
Can't figure it out.
What I want to do is I want to get a picture of her, like, do the treat dangling thing where she just goes, you know, up towards the camera, and then get a picture of that, and the caption is, "The last thing the feline Boba Fett saw."
Not bad.
No, thank you. All right, so we'll go ahead and do introductions, and we'll do them starting now!
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice. It's a Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck currently causing a cataclysm outside the very door of your mind. We're here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I'll endeavor to introduce them. Going from my right to your left, we have Scott Sees with us. Hello, Scott.
I'm going through the back door of your mind.
Ugh. That's not a back door, Scott.
Yes. It will be when I'm done.
You're not invited.
I think, Scott, to be perfectly fair, I think you may have mistaken that for the dryer vent of someone's mind, which means you might want to be careful, and you could end up covered in lint and warm. Which might be
Lint.
That's probably a usual Saturday night for Scott.
Thank you, Tuffley. Speaking of which, there's Tuffley. Hi, Tuffley.
So, it's a cataclysm? Is that what we're saying it is now? Because I thought it was just Superboy punching a hole in space.
It is normally Super Bowl. I haven't even been drinking. Maybe that's my problem. Where is my alcohol?
I am on my third Cocoa Brown.
No, Ray Lewis didn't do that either.
Oh, God.
Put on some damn pants, Widget.
No! But someone who is probably wearing pants, it's Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hello.
So are you wearing pants?
Yes, I'm wearing yoga pants.
She won't tell you where. And we also have Lee is with us. Hi, Lee.
I have a question for Kim.
Yes?
Are you wearing a shirt?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm wearing my Captain America t-shirt.
And according to Lee, that means that you're going out later.
That's exactly right. You got shirt and pants on, man. You're going somewhere. I am also wearing yoga pants. Because I had a physical therapy today. Ouch.
Ouch.
I am wearing a shirt. I'm wearing two. I have a t-shirt and a sweatshirt on. I'm cold.
I would like to say that.
I only podcasted topless that one time.
I'm sorry. Say it again, slower.
I'd like to point out that Lee does have a sign outside of her house that says, no shoes, no shirt, no shoes. Meh, okay. What else have?
No, it says no shirt, no shoes, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We also have Rox's Faz House is here. Hi, Rox.
I always have dreams where I'm at work and I'm topless and I still work. Just saying.
Damn.
Yeah. That's because you're dedicated.
Those dreams are.
It was sort of weird. This one dream I had, it was so funny. One of my clients like got ogling, and I'm like, "What? I'm doing your work. What do you want?" And my boss.
Did you get ink on your nipples?
No. Whoa. But she's like, "Why are you topless?" And I said, "I think I pulled something. I'm still working.
Hold on, I'm pulling something."
Lee, I think you've been watching too much porn involving octopi.
I guess. Anyway, I'm wearing a robe.
Well, there you go.
No pants.
Oh, wait.
Is this like the end of the Tree of the Omen show?
This does remind me, Rox. Here's a question for you. Speaking of dreams and robes.
Sweet dreams are made of robes.
Rox, do you ever have this dream where you're standing on an Aztec temple in a sort of sun god robes and thousands of naked women are screaming and throwing little pickles at you?
That was a fantastic movie, and that was a great still shot that you put on the music podcast. I loved that.
Thank you.
It's a shame Nickelodeon canceled that show on a cliffhanger.
Are you talking about Mysterious Cities of Gold? I loved that.
I did too. Oh my god!
There was an actual ending to that, by the way.
That summer it was on Nickelodeon. It was like a soap opera. Every time.
We're talking
and then
about.
I had to go back to school before it ended, and I never saw the end.
We're talking about the very short lived show, The Adventures of Young Real Genius. It's better than Young MacGyver. I'll tell you that much. Also have Serve. Hi, Serve.
And I'm supposed to follow Rox. That's
right. Somebody had to, and you drew the short straw.
Well, look at it this way.
Serve, do you have pants on?
Val Kilmer.
That's for me to know and for Mrs. Dr. Serve to find out.
Okay, there we go.
Well, I mean, she is a doctor.
She said, drop your drawers.
Did she also want you to turn your head and cough?
No, that comes later.
Okay. And speaking of coughing, hi, John.
You ain't responsible for nothing.
So, yoga pants for John, too, then.
Yeah. But he's wearing them on his head. Oh, my God. Lee, quit eating the peeps!
By peeps.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
She means penis.
I hit you as soon as I could.
I'm seeing, like, the best intervention parody ever coming with this whole peeps thing.
And by best, you mean worst.
Probably.
Yes,
but...
yes he does.
Well, I mean, somebody has to do something. I'm just saying. It's getting ridiculous. Sure.
These peeps are shitty, but most peeps are awesome.
We do, like, a joke where we film, like, how horrible peeps are making Lee's life, and... then we all kind of gather around at the end and.
Oh my God.
Seriously, have you ever roasted peeps?
No, wait, Tuffly. Going back to Requiem for a Dream, it's like Requiem for a Dream, but with peeps.
Yeah.
He's trying to score peeps and, Jennifer Connelly whoring herself out for peeps. It's awful.
Ew.
Well, yeah. She did do Labyrinth.
Oh, wait. I would say that she did the Hulk as well.
Well, yes, but...
did she do that?
Wait, gosh, a beautiful peep. She was in a beautiful peep.
Wow, usually that deafening silence is reserved for Scott.
I know.
Well, that was... that took just a moment to unravel. It was like Rox gave us that, and it was tied with a little bow on it. And... and at first, we looked at the joke and we went, now the last time Rox gave us something that was tied with a bow on it, it exploded. But we opened it this time anyway, because we never learn.
Damn, I just did a snot bubble. Crap.
You know, the sad thing is, you're on the audio only. None of us would have ever known.
I know. I'm one of those sharing type people.
Theater of the mind.
Eating rocks. Thank you for sharing.
Ah. Oh, the shares.
Weekend Justice, it's just like being in the room with us. No, no, really, it is.
And we're so, so sorry.
I want to know who put that in the script.
Nothing.
Who's Doc this week?
I have my own set of writers here. They're constantly handing me rule notes.
Notice she almost said lawyers.
Lawyer. Well, that too. They're in the other room.
It's important to have both.
Well, they're only clearing every other thing she says, so it's fine.
That's right.
Especially with this show, it's a good idea to have both.
Don't put lawyers and writers in the same room. It's just, they fight over the food and water. It's bad.
And then Ally McBeal happens.
Oh.
Wow.
Yikes.
Whatever happened to Calista Flockhart? Robert. Never mind. I just realized I don't give a shit.
Oh, she got.
Oh, she slipped behind the couch.
Check up.
Yeah, she's boning with
Harrison I believe
Ford.
She put Harrison Ford in Carbonite.
Although he's now said he's going to do Star Wars. Did you read that, Duffley?
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't have the rule that he's got to die.
Wait, do Star Wars how?
Don't know. He said
from behind.
In movie 7.
You know, probably so from many behind. People say so many things.
Wait, they can get the CGI Harrison Ford from that Indiana Jones film we admit doesn't exist because, you know, he's probably cheaper.
Yeah, sadly, if they made Gemini Man at all, they'd probably have him from that.
Is it like hologram Tupac Shakur?
Now, I do think you should have the hologram Tupac Shakur in the new Star Wars film.
Well, that's true. He should just be in everything. And how do we know he isn't?
Well, you know, we need a princess in this film. Indeed.
Well, I just can't wait on the Yoda movie. The character movies are not going to be doing. I think those are going to be awesome.
Oh,
the
Star Wars
Yoda movies.
Okay, 3 boxes lit up, so I did not hear anything.
Wow. You've been working hard then. Oh, I mean, oh.
Or hardly working.
Bump, bada, bump, bump, bump.
I really want the Christopher Nolan Star Wars solo film.
Oh my God! Wouldn't that be awesome? Why doesn't he
That's
sign up
be
for
so
this?
So super serious and everything. It'd be great.
Who knows? He's not. They back up a truck of money.
Definitely. Wow! I would like
what?
Scott. I'm terribly sorry. I have to take away the unable to speak hat from you and give it to Lee.
Wait, does that mean we have to play Don't Speak?
I give it gladly.
Okay, well, I haven't had a lot of sleep in the past couple of days, as you all probably understand why, but...
Oh, come on. Why are you trying to bring us down, Natalie?
We know it's the peeps. It's okay.
You know, Lee's
it's not the peeps, damn it. I only have half a peep.
Beeping ain't easy. I know.
See?
Wow.
Hey, you know what else, Tuffley?
Very nice, Tuffley.
Hey, Tuffley?
Yeah.
Peep is gonna peep.
Yeah.
It's hard out there for Peep.
Yeah.
Peep. I think I peeped myself.
Bandwidth is dying! Why did
Because the Oscars are coming, I do want to make the point that we live in a world where the Beatles did not win an Academy Award, but 3-6 Mafia did.
Well. Yeah.
So there is justice in the world, is what you're saying.
No, Justice is a different band, John.
Oh. Well, I was just pointing out that it exists.
And what also about? A new universe title.
But what about Weekend Justice?
Weekend Justice does not exist.
Ooh, podcast name, I claim it.
Oh, that was also a new universe title, but they canceled it after the second issue.
That's
on
true.
A cliffhanger.
Yeah, yeah, in favor of Kickers Incorporated. What the fuck was that about?
Kickers Incorporated, KICKERS, Kick. Oh wait, no, that's Kids Incorporated. Never mind.
That was Kids Incorporated.
Hey, John, that was Kids Incorporated.
Lee, I think that was Kids Incorporated, which later became, Teenagers Limited.
I was hitting my mute thing when he said that. Do you remember the host of that show, Kids Incorporated?
No.
No.
There wasn't necessarily a host. It was several kids.
The Crypt Keeper.
Now, by host... Is by host, are you referring to
that's
the show?
That's why they like, were. That's why they were different kids every season.
No, but are you referring to the host as like the network and the show itself as a parasite?
No.
Oh, never mind. And the pause and reflect is every. Oh my God!
Really?
I thought it was gonna go for the kids.
What I love is if you ever watch this video, there's this little girl.
Yeah, I'm leaving now. That fucking threw me over there. I'll see you guys. Have a good one.
Bye, sir.
Bye.
If you ever watch this video, there's this tiny little girl that supposedly is singing this song. She's about, you know, 8.
Well, now here's my question. Does anybody remember when Kids Incorporated was acquired by AOL Time Warner? Now, you want to talk about a hostile takeover?
Wow.
John, thank you.
See, he's laughing as loud as I was and making funny noises. You're not calling him out on it, are you?
Yes, but it didn't involve Disco Peeps.
But Lee, he's not laughing and then and acting. He's not making noises like that and acting like he's talking. Because this literally was a question that you asked.
That's Skype. It wasn't me.
And we were all like, what?
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, see, she was using a distortion pedal. She just needs to learn not to do that. You have to be careful with your effects.
Wah, 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 wah.
Exactly.
Lee and has a wah-wah pedal?
And
why am I not surprised?
You know, if you overdo the pedal, it's just like anything else. If you overdo it, it just sounds like shit.
And Tuffley, I'd like to point out that if you aren't careful with your FX, then Brian Dennehy and Brian Brown will both come back for a sequel.
And it might actually really be considered a justified episode.
Whoa.
Wait, did do a sequel to it?
They did, and it was horrible.
Yeah, they did. I think, didn't they do like 2 or 3 sequels? Wasn't there like a third one with none of the original people in it?
A short-lived TV series.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. There is a first time for everything.
And then FX was a network. That was what was crazy.
John, he didn't have to read anything for that one.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
Had he said that I read that there was a TV series, I would not have believed him.
Agreed.
So.
Can I make a rec before I go to bed?
Oh, recommend? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to steal Kim's thunder before she gets here. Is
she's
Kim still on?
I suppose I can permit it.
Thank you. Secret Avengers #1 is awesome. I loved it. I read it.
People aren't addicted at all.
Did you read Battle Scars first? Doesn't it make like a
I read Battle Scars. Okay, so yes. So Kim told me I had to read Battle Scars first, and I did. And then, and Kim, I've already bought my own copy of Battle Scars now. And then I read Secret Avengers #1.
So let me just ask you this, Lee. Is Secret Avengers an Avengers that's strong enough for a man but made for a woman?
I think so.
Okay, good.
I think so. It's pretty awesome. And it has all of my favorite characters in it. And it made me really happy. And it's a fun little story. It kind of makes some sense. And you can actually, from what I know of the comics, go with it.
It made me happy because I keep saying that what I really want to see is a straight up espionage movie set in the Marvel Universe with like the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, with Hawkeye, Black Widow, and Captain Fury. I want to see them doing spy stuff. You know, I want to see Budapest, etc.
I want to see Budapest.
But Secret Avengers is the comic book of that, essentially. So that made
Kim and I actually have talked about this. We want to see Budapest so bad we can't stand it. We really, really do. And yeah, I think these are going to be very interesting little kind of spy stories, Avenger stories.
And I'm really, really excited because supposedly Winter Soldier is in this book later. And I want to see Natasha and Bucky together because they're my secret, like, favorite shippy couple that I want to be together, even though they haven't actually met in the movie verse yet.
Wow.
But they're mean too, and they totally knew each other back in the day when they were both being mind controlled by the Soviets. So, you know, that's common.
No, wait a minute. Is this Secret Avengers?
Or Die Hard, Yippee-ki-yay, whatever, Russia.
Everybody was, what?
Nothing.
What? No. Is this the previous series, or is there like a new series?
No, this is a new number series just came out. They new started series. It with new number one.
Of course, yeah, it's Marvel.
Yeah.
It's Marvel.
So must have got Nick the 10, Switch.
So,
Nick Fury has a big ass A on his chest because Captain America gave him a shirt.
Okay.
It's awesome, and it's a lot of fun to read, and my understanding from talking to a couple of people is it is still smart-ass Hawkeye and kill you in your sleep, Widow, and Nick Fury being a badass, and of course it brings Coulson back, which makes me all giddy.
Hooray! Yeah,
very, very in my heart.
So they brought movie Fury and Coulson into the 616 universe. With a book called really? Stars.
Yeah, with a really
so this is now S.H.I.E.L.D. with that Fury and that Coulson and
oh my god.
Fury
is a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent now. He's not the director in the regular universe.
Wait. This is Nick Fury Jr.?
Yes, yep. Nick Fury Jr. Marcus Johnson / Nick Fury Jr.
Are you fucking kidding? Nick Fury Jr.
And the reason he's what?
Sorry, wait, Nick Fury had some jungle fever?
Yes.
No, wait a minute.
The story is
this
that White
surprise you.
Is the father of Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury. And yes. He did not, and he and Coulson were in the Army Rangers together. And they came to work for S.H.I.E.L.D. because people were after Nick Fury Jr. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know the whole backstory.
He thought his mom was a teacher.
To protect him, etc. You know, like you do. And so all the bad guys try to get him because he has the, like, so White Nick Fury had the, whatever, the Infinity Serum stuff. And apparently it's transmissible in the gametes. And so.
Yes. It's in the little swimmers. It was in the little swimmer and it went to Nick Fury Jr. Yeah, it was awesome.
It's Widge.
Comics are weird.
That's not how they said it, but it is.
Hey, Widge, just so you understand, this is why I don't read comic books anymore.
By
the way, Bendis is doing the X-Men books now.
Okay, but is it good Bendis or evil Bendis?
One of them might be good Bendis, and well, he's working on two. One of them might be evil Bendis, and the other one might be good Bendis. It's a little early.
All right, and I'd like to point out that I gave up on things involving Junior with Donkey Kong Jr. Okay, so
yeah, but what about James Bond Jr.?
It's the one.
Do you have like the library of children's theme songs? Is that what you have?
Didn't say James Bond Jr. Really?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
James Bond's.
Hang on. Yeah, it's his nephew. It's awful. Run away.
We should point out that this is different from the Jimmy Bond that's in the Gold Bond commercials. Totally
true.
Jimmy Newton who's on Nick Jr.
I'd like to point out. Well, hang on. Let me point out that this it's also no relation to Gary U.S. Bonds.
Well, you know, it could be. They haven't figured out the continuity on that yet. The films haven't chosen to address it or ignore it.
Okay, but see, there's a problem here because nephews can't
just be one.
Nephews could be the third, but they can't. I must go and ponder this at this point because now you all have blown my middle mind. I mean, I can take Nick Fury being Nick Fury Jr., but I mean James Bond Jr. doesn't work, so I have to go now.
Okay, Lee, and make sure you try out some Bondo while you do.
Okay,
unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Actually, it is.
Or buying U.S. bonds.
That's true.
Or Barry Bonds. Don't vote for him.
No, he should never, ever, ever be in the Hall of Fame. Nor should Pete Rose. Bye.
Bye.
Pete, what? Bye. Oh, she did not just say Pete Rose should not be in the Hall of Fame and leave.
She did, and then she did.
I think she just went Sports Center on us.
Coward. Is that a thing? Like,
oh.
Wow. So.
I have no idea.
I can't continue.
Can we talk about
I am so furious
more?
At this point.
Well, I just, before, I made a point of catching up on Walking Dead, so we should at least talk about Walking Dead for a minute.
That's a show?
I didn't like that first episode after the cliffhanger thing, but I liked
really?
The second episode, yeah.
Well,
like,
here.
The light setup?
I didn't like the light setup, no.
I did appreciate the thing I saw on Facebook about it's the zombie apocalypse and who's cutting all the lawns. That was great. Cause like they only now have the grass growing up. It's like what?
Only when it's convenient.
Go ahead.
Only when it's convenient do they have the grass growing tall.
Yeah,
well,
true.
The grass is infected too because we all are infected.
Whoa. If you're talking about infected grass, Tuffley, you're getting really, really close to an M. Night Shyamalan film, and I'm going to have to ask you to back off.
And also, Serve is very depressed right now.
I know.
Or you're talking about the sequel to Reefer Madness.
Oh, my God. No, wait, John. Because if the grass keeps coming back and keeps coming back.
Ooh, MB's happy. You're right.
Yeah, I know. Serve, you have to save us all.
They're going to have to shoot the grass in the head.
I don't think he wants to.
Spliff of the Living Dead!
God.
The only thing I really did not like, although I am fascinated by David Morrissey and his governor. I think he's playing that really good.
Yes.
I'm very pleased with him. But the only part I don't like, and spoilers, the only part I don't like is the fact that Laurie is hanging around because I really liked the way they ended with the phone because they took this character.
Yes, bad idea.
Well, they took the character who you basically were pissed at and then took her out, gave her 90 seconds of just rip your heart out acting and then said, oh, no, that's not enough. And there was that bit where he's listening on the phone and it's like she's gone past the cell towers of the damned and into the afterlife. And it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wish that had been her send off because that would have been great.
But see, now she can tout the fact that I'm clean and I have a good haircut amongst all the actors that are all sweaty and gross and grimy.
You know, they've got to be giving her shit about that.
Oh my God, yes. I guess we don't have to put crap on you.
I will
say
this. I will say this. I want to think that they did this for people like myself who were in the most recent episode, spoiler, that, the remaining convict, if you've read the comic, you might have, like I have been, and I think I said on here, thinking, oh, I wonder if he's that guy. And his whole thing about, oh, well, his story changed and stuff like that. I was sitting there rocks going, oh shit. I think he's that guy. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, he's not that guy. Fucked you up, didn't we? Yeah. So, but, I did think it was sort of hardcore. Two hardcore things. First of all, the governor's attack I thought was pretty hardcore.
That was.
And
that, to me, redempted the first episode.
And no, well, the other thing about the first episode was that when Glenn yanks that zombie out of the fucking truck and just stomps its head in, I was like, holy shit.
Well, but it was that weird, you know, even Rick's like, holy crap, we've never had to do that.
Well, he has had, I will say that Glenn has had a bad couple of days.
Widge, and anyone else who's read the comic. So at this point, is it just a case where the only thing that is true to the comic at this point now is that we're living in this world.
These are the people named from the comic.
That's it at this
point. That's the way I'm seeing it.
Well, sort of. I mean, they've played around with the characters quite a bit. Some characters are not there that were there in the comic and vice versa. And the whole Woodbury setup is completely different. Yeah. Like Glenn coming out of this completely different.
Was it? I mean, because my understanding is that Tyrese was around for a lot longer, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. He's coming back.
Yeah,
he's,
I would hope so, because...
Well, my thought is that he's just hiding out somewhere in the prison, because there's no fucking way they left.
I thought
they were still locked up.
No,
he left.
Tyrese runs into the brothers.
He's actually in the boxing area. He's practicing his boxing.
Nice. No, they basically did that in the first episode to make everyone go, you're going to get rid of Michonne? What? Wait, no. Norman Reedus is leaving. No. Oh, no, my Tyrese. They did that to fuck with the fanboys and fangirls.
Yeah.
But no, I'm happy with it. I'm pleased with everything that's going on. I hope that now we get to see, really pissed off Rick. I'm hoping we get.
By the way, is it
pissed off Rick or just crazy Rick? Because here's the thing. Getting back to like the comic, you know, you have to remember the reason Rick's pissed off is A, he gets his hand cut off, spoiler, and Michonne is raped. So they have a reason to be pissed. Here it's like, well, I'm not sure why I'm pissed.
He killed
the zombie that ate his wife.
Well, but here's Rick, I think, is pissed because yes, that stuff happened in the comic Woodbury. All right. Here, basically, first of all, he's got PTSD out the ass. Number one.
Yeah.
And so you got that.
There's an ointment for that though.
You what?
There's an ointment for that though.
There's also an app for it. But also, so you had Glenn get beat to shit. You had, you know, Maggie in this case almost get raped.
Right.
And you have Daryl has now run off, with Merle, basically just because, you know, Rick was like, no, fuck, Merle's not coming back. And so now after all this, then he's got, you know, the governor shows up and take shots at his remaining family and, you know, starts fucking with them. And I think Rick can see they are fucking with us. It's not even like the governor tried to come in and kill them. They're just fucking with them, which I think pisses Rick off to no end. Now, I will say that he is a bit crazy, but he at least realized, I know this isn't Lori. He says, I know that. However, there's something going on, but he didn't. To his credit, even crazy as he was returning fire and not wandering around going, Loria, why are you shooting at me? I'm fascinated to see where they're going with this and a bit terrified.
I'm fascinated by the weirdo doctor guy.
Well, it's interesting because,
they didn't really do anything with the weirdo doctor guy in the comic. They basically dropped it.
No, there is a different. Well, there wasn't a weirdo doctor like this in the comic at this point. There is a different weirdo doctor later. And they are still, they're doing stuff with him and have done stuff with him. But this is interesting. I'm wondering what the hell they're going to do with this guy, because he's not as crazy like John Logan, Dr. Frankenstein from Day of the Dead, as I initially thought he might be. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. The only thing that I did not like about the, that first episode Rocks in retrospect was that Andrea's speech.
Oh, yeah.
I swear. Now, I will say,
I'm sorry. Andrea's just past the point of annoying, and I wish she'd die.
I you know what? Yeah, it's like, I agree with
and
you.
And it's sort of like, the character in the comics is so great, but.
Yeah.
But what they've done here is basically I don't know. It's close to character assassination.
Well, the one thing she wasn't the
person that was driving the thing, was she?
No.
I would think she wouldn't be. Okay.
No. No, the one thing I will say is, in defense of that style of writing, I think they could have handled it better. But if the only speeches you have to go on are terrible Hollywood speeches, you might give a speech like that. But that being said, I was this close to going, Howard Johnson is right, when she got done. So, thank you.
No, I imagine you watching this at home stood up and did that one clap.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Now, I must say, the final move there at the end by the governor was badass.
Oh, my God. That was just like
awesome. Crap. The only down part is that they left the vehicle there, right? So it's like, oh, now they have a vehicle.
Yeah.
They can ram their gates with.
Now, John, you have to remember, though, if I recall, the governor did attend one of Rox's classes on villainy. And so I can almost guarantee you that the reason why it took them so long to drop the back of that truck and let the walkers out is because they were cutting the brake lines.
Because
when the guy got out with the SWAT gear on, I think he was wearing one of those WWRD bracelets. So,
see, I thought he actually moved like a girl. I mean that in the best sense. It was very fluid.
She could be that chick that is the Woodbury sniper girl. That's who I thought it was.
Possible.
You know, the one that Lori was, you know, on the wall with. This was earlier.
What?
You know,
what? In Game of Thrones?
No. Yeah.
Oh, God,
no,
and
the one girl's like, oh, I got this one. And Lori goes out and starts, you know, shooting up. She's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, because Lori wanted to prove herself. So I thought it was her. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Add a new recruit because the governor's weird.
Yeah. But I am enjoying him because he's so fucking crazy.
How many episodes do we have left in the series?
Is it 16? What is it? Hang on, I'll look.
I know they expanded the order to at least 16.
And I will say this. The one bit, I think the one thing that I've heard the governor say that I think he was actually being honest about was, I thought if I kept her alive long enough that Milton would come up with a cure.
Yeah.
Because the way he said that was so sort of different from everything else. And it was just so interesting. It's a completely different take on the character from the comic, but I really dig what he's doing with it.
Yeah, and I think they've talked about it where they kind of expanded the role when they cast him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 16 episodes.
He's a really good actor. I thought he was really good in Doctor Who. I was actually disappointed that he wasn't going to be recurring because I thought he was really, really good in that episode.
Was he in Doctor Who?
He was the fake doctor.
Yeah, the Victorian
doctor.
Man.
Although this is kind of close to what he was doing in Blackpool, though.
Huh. Sorry, I felt like making a noise. Lee's gone, so someone has to make noises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody have any disco peeps?
No.
Maybe. Hold on, let's verify. Hey, Rob, do you have any disco peeps?
Do I what?
Have any disco peeps?
In like the disco 70s sense of the word, no.
What about any other sense of the word?
How about in the Zydeco sense of the word?
Oh, God, no.
Why okay. Zydeco peeps. Rob.
Yes.
Did your friend get the zines?
I'm going to email him tonight. He went to Chicago. He's got a friend of his taking him up.
Oh.
So I just got off work, so I'll find out.
All right.
So.
Da-da-da. So how's it going, Rob?
Oh, it's just great. How are you?
Oh, I'm fan-fucking-tastic. So what news have you brought us? Have you seen anything? We were getting Kim's extensive Hansel and Gretel review.
Oh, well, somebody.
It was only extensive because of the numbers of times I said very, very, very before terrible.
Yeah, I didn't even go. I mean, I didn't go see that, and then my friend who went to the preview said that the free screen, you know, because it was a free screening and people were leaving. So usually that's a bad sign.
Well, I'd like to also point out that Kim used the words very, very, very in front of the word clothed to describe Jeremy Renner.
That too.
She sounds really disappointed about that, you think?
I mean, you hope there's going to be some sort of, you know, that they're going to try to make it up to you.
Kim?
But they're not. They're not going to make it up to you.
I would be remiss, and you know I love you, I would be remiss if I did not tell you that you're married to the Duke of Deliciousness. You shouldn't be looking at Jerry Renner.
You know, what?
Whatever.
Did you get remarried, Kim?
Jeremy Renner. He's
Really?
Says the guy who just played Kids Incorporated on the show? Really?
Whoa! Bam!
What does that say about you, though?
Wait a minute. He played Kids Incorporated on the show?
Love you, Tefley.
That was all John.
That was all John.
Wow.
Look, it can't be a Weekend Justice without a Kid Incorporated reference, right?
Yes,
no, I'm pretty sure it can.
I would like to second that it can.
Perhaps it's the fourth beer I've started.
I don't really have disco peeps. I'm sorry. If I find any, I'll send
Do you have disco
way.
Feet?
Disco feet? Not in about 5 years, no.
No, but he does have, he studied taxidermy, so he has a stuffed disco duck.
Well, there's also a cream for that, disco feet.
And by cream, you mean the band?
Yes.
Okay. What?
I have no idea what happened.
I don't know either. So
ginger
Rob,
bakers were harmed in that joke.
Wow, such a slow night.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. So Rob, what have you seen? What do we need to know?
I saw the Oscar shorts in my attempt to see everything for the Academy Awards. I've now seen the Oscar shorts.
So you prefer those to Oscar briefs?
Yeah, there's a touring program of the live Oscar shorts and the animated shorts. When it comes online, I'm going to send it to Rox. The first one of the shorts is from Belgium, and Rox would love it because it's very steampunk. And basically this guy, in order to not die, has to take pictures of 1,000 shadows. And the camera that he has captures the shadows and contains them inside this camera, and then it releases them into like a framed matte World War One looking painting, right? So they go down this gallery, and it's a whole gallery of framed shadows in different positions, and at times of their death. And it's just, it's like 18 minutes. It's a really cool Belgian short film. It's awesome. And the guy from that new Marie Copillard movie, that Rust and Bone or whatever the hell that thing is.
Scott.
Is it?
What?
Never mind.
Sorry,
go
Rob.
Ahead.
Go on.
Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
Okay.
It's not you, Rob. It's Scott.
Turn on your flashlight. Let it shine wherever you go. Sorry. I don't know where that came from.
Or where it went to.
But Lee does. Hence the noises.
I
Rob, you saw the shorts.
So the shorts were pretty good. The only thing is, like, last year when they gave up the Academy Awards for short features, the guy who won it was this, like, young looking kid who had, like, weird, he looked like Sideshow fucking Bob. And, he's the kind of guy that sort of like would go to film school, learn how to make films, and then Rox and I would beat the shit out of him just for sheer enjoyment. he narrates like the linking segments between it, talking about how it's hard to be humble when you're about to get an Academy Award and all this other shit. And it would have been a much better program if they just didn't have him in it to like link
Sounds
the film.
Like.
Well, I think it would have been a much better program if you and Rox had shown up at the end and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
it's hard to be humble when we're about to kick your ass.
With the Oscar statues. With your own Academy Award.
The highlight of every evening is Rox and I showing up at your house, whether they beat you up or just say hi.
Fist bump.
So yeah.
That is so, okay. There you go. That is the new reality TV show. Rob and Rock show up at your house, and they will either kick your ass or fist bump you and hand you a pizza. Do you dare? Do you dare find out which?
Spin the roulette.
Is fist pump hand you a pizza a sex move or?
Yeah, which?
Every week you have to do the Jeremy Irons overacting voice.
But I will say this. It's a pizza with a past! Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
In Kitchen Arena.
Ouch. No, that was quite good. The other thing, I saw Parker, which I think is out of theaters now, but I usually try to see all Jason Statham films just because he's, even in a terrible film, Jason Statham is just awesome to watch in them.
Oh, he's great. And he's a nice guy, so it's all good.
And Jason Statham walking around in a cowboy hat is just even more cool. It's kind of like the Italian Job in that it's got, like, people...
Jason Statham in it.
I'm sorry, what?
I said it's kind of like the Italian Job in that it has Jason Statham in it.
Yes, and it's a caper movie where they pull off a job and they get betrayed and you have to get revenge. It follows all the standard protocols of a caper film. But, and of course, you know, he's the reluctant anti-hero who doesn't want to get involved but then has a heart and all that other crap. But it's pretty good, despite having Jennifer Lopez in it. You probably wait and Netflix it. It seems like one of those movies that they made knowing it wasn't going to do well at the box office, but they know they'd clean up on the red box and the international money on it. But, it's not awful. And then, I saw Die Hard. Did you see Die Hard yet, Lynch?
No, I have not.
Okay. It would have been much better if he didn't have the kid in it with him.
Oh, you mean the passing of the torch thing?
What was that we were talking about? James Bond Jr.?
Yeah. John McClane Jr.
So then Die Hard 1 then.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Willis being that character is kind of fun, because Bruce Willis just clearly knows that the dialogue is bad and that it's clear fluff. I mean, when he's falling through windows, he doesn't even make any attempt to, like, shield his face or anything. It's like, he just doesn't give a shit. And you know what? He totally pulls it off. But the movies are kind of, they're popcorn movies. You go and you just want to be entertained for 2 hours, and it does that, but they just sort of throw you into, oh, he has a son, and this is what's happening. So no, you kind of have to...
Well, wasn't the last movie his daughter?
Yeah, and she's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking
it
would be a great movie.
Wait, did she get kidnapped and he have to rescue her?
Yeah.
No, but I was thinking it would be a great movie if John McClane's son was dating the daughter from Taken, and the entire movie was just John McClane and the guy from Taken going out and having beers.
Oh,
I would watch
God.
The hell out of that.
Yes!
It's Liam Neeson and Bruce Willis just talking about, you know, useless shit like, well, you know, when I sneak up behind a guy and I have to break their neck, this is how I prefer to do it. You know? That would be much, more entertaining.
I go for the C7 vertebra.
Yeah, that would be far more interesting than the Die Hard movies.
So great
and,
game you're taken.
The plot with Chernobyl is totally implausible, but, you know, I told Janet about it, and she's like, now I'm very worried. And I said, what? She's like, you and Rox are going to want to go to Chernobyl. I said, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, two things. First, dear listeners, if you have not, and Rox and Rob, if you have not, do a Google search.
Oh,
for the Vice Chernobyl thing?
Yeah.
The Vice Travel Guide.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yes, it's fucking brilliant. And by the way, the Vice Guide to Everything, which is on the web, is also brilliant. And they have a show starting in April on HBO.
Is it going to be Guide to Everything?
I don't know if it's going to be Guide to Everything, but it's going to be them. So
okay.
Just like they did with Guide to Everything, just like Guide to Everything was like the travel guide slightly expanded and with new stuff.
Yeah.
They're going to build on that even more. So,
okay.
But so that's that. But the second thing is to, okay, first of all, you should all be going on YouTube and watching Charlie Brooker's Weekly Wipe, because people are posting the entire fucking thing on YouTube, and it's brilliant. But in the most recent episode, episode 3, they do an entire bit with Bruce Willis on a morning show over there, and he is
yeah,
so...
Yeah, it was on the one show.
Okay, yeah. He is so fucking bored and not wanting to be there. He had more fun, obviously, doing Top Gear for 30 seconds than he did being on the one show for God knows how long he had to deal with that. So,
because it's the one show.
Well, but even beyond that,
well,
I mean,
it was
just
a Kia Ceed, though, and those are you can get excited about that car.
Well, the thing about Bruce Willis is, you know, he does not tolerate fools very well. Sort of like if you're into like
how's he managed Hollywood
and you have interesting
so
questions and things, he will totally be the nicest person in the world. But if you come and you're like not prepared, or you just ask totally disinterested, or he gets bored, it's over. You know,
well,
but I give him a pass on that. You know, because those guys have to do that all the time.
And
no,
they
I, the only reason
like moonlighting.
Well, the only reason I mentioned that, Rob, is you were talking about he doesn't even try to shield his face. But this, he's just, and the poor guy. Scott's right. They're bringing up moonlighting. They're showing footage of his music
Bruno.
Career. Oh yeah, it's insane. So
yeah,
could you blow into a harmonica?
Yeah, I don't think moonlighting's ever going to see the light of day properly on DVD because all the music rights.
I think it's already out.
Is it out? Okay, because this
well. I mean, did they do the WKRP music replacement on it, or?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's been
yeah, that would be what I would wonder.
Baby, have you ever wondered?
Wow. Nice. Although, I will say this. The script for Good Day to Die Hard was by the guy who brought you, I think he was the original writer. Yeah, he was the original writer for Swordfish, which the original script of was really quite badass, as opposed to just moderately badass, which is what it turned out to be. So, there you go.
But no, if you like to see stuff get blown up, if you want a suspension of disbelief, if you like guns, you know, we sat next to a guy who could identify, like, every, as a different gun showed up, he was like, oh, that's a blah, 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 blah. And, oh, that's a blah, 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 blah. He was like,
that's
wow.
Kind of terrifying.
So I
it's
didn't know Siege was
being in
neighbor.
A movie theater with a guy talking about what type of gun it is. It was a little creepy. I was a little uneasy.
I don't know. Is it any more creepier than the people who go to Fast and the Furious and keep identifying the cars in them?
Well, cars aren't designed to kill people.
Actually, well, the other thing they should do is, you know, they should do a mashup of Die Hard and The Fast and the Furious too. That would be awesome.
They did, didn't they? They call it Triple X.
Oh, making me so fucking sad. So fucking sad. I enjoyed that first movie.
Yes, and I finally saw Downton Abbey. That's the only other news.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Oh, no, that's what you need. You need John McClane to do a Die Hard in the Downton Abbey house.
Yeah, could you have John Bates and John McClane go on a road movie together and have wacky adventures?
Dude, I've got it. Okay, it turns out that Maggie Smith is really, like, a terrorist leader. Go! Make it happen!
And she's canceling Christmas?
I would totally... Oh, we got to pitch this, like, right now.
Exactly.
I would pay great money for that.
I know, really. Just Maggie Smith in full-on villain mode.
Hey, Rob,
I got it. She's like the mom of the Alan Rickman character from One, because because he's killed off all of his other relatives in the other films.
God, Tuffley, that is fucking gold. Oh, yes.
Tuffley, when you say things like that, I wonder why would your wife possibly even look at Jeremy Renner?
Well, you don't even know how I look at him.
Have you seen his ass?
It's okay. I have it in my home, too. I understand.
Whoa, you have whose ass in your home, too?
What?
No, I understand what Tuffley's going through. I have the same problem at home.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, your wife and I need to hang out more.
Dear God.
Kind of scary.
You're like Jane. I took her to a hobo camp. She was okay.
Yep.
She survived it and got a souvenir from it.
Oh, it's Clinique bonus time at Bloomingdale's now, by the way.
Yeah.
Again? I thought
that was like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that was the Clinique bonus time at Belk. This is the one at Bloomingdale's. They have a different gift.
And what is the gift this time?
I have a new podcast now, Shopping with Kim.
I just like to help people.
Hey,
and if you want to help, please call Help Me Rocks and maybe Kim later on, 404-382-0769, and we can help you with all your shopping needs.
There you go.
Well done.
Although that was a bit QVC, though.
I know.
That's okay. She did it on purpose.
Hey, Rob, did you catch Quartet yet? The Maggie Smith Quartet movie?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it? It's not anywhere. It's
It's in limited release. It's supposed to go, Landmark is showing it a couple places, but after the Academy Awards, it's supposed to go in a larger wide release. Billy Connolly is just awesome in it.
Right.
So, and, Michael Gambon's awesome. I mean, they're all great in it, but like, Billy Connolly's just awesome in it. I love him.
Okay. So. How good's the singing? Just out of curiosity.
Nobody tries to do a job that is unbelievable in the singing.
Okay. All right.
What I wonder is if they had somebody else do it. But that's okay. I mean,
you can get any old singer. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they ruin it with the singing. I mean, it's got some charm and, in the same way that the Magnolia, Hotel movie was charming. There was like a 90-year-old day at the drive-in, you'd sell Best Exotic, Mega Hotel, and the Quartet.
Hmm. Oh. The weird thing is my...
Open up a chain of elderly drive-in.
Yes.
So, that on Valentine's Day, I rode in a hearse.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Was it a Cadillac? What kind?
Just a black old Ford hearse. A buddy of mine has it, and I needed a ride to my DJ gig, and he's like, I got a special car that I borrowed from a friend, and he showed up in a hearse. I'm like, yes.
What year?
It was awesome. It's like an old 70s. You know those, like, how they had those old 70s police cars?
Yeah.
It was like a station wagon version of that. It was obviously a very old, sort of out of commission, old school sort of. It wasn't like a fancy old 50s or 60s Munster's hearse, but it was like a big gas guzzling, almost like an
ambulance?
LTD. Well, kind of like an LTD, but I don't know if it was an LTD. Yeah, but he uses it to haul crap around for his art. So.
Wow.
Yeah. But, yeah.
That's cool.
So I have 5 people convinced Rox that you are Banksy.
Nice.
Of which
brilliant.
Get this.
Yes, but does Banksy really own an airship? Huh? Huh? Yeah.
So in the news, just like the last couple days, somebody, I guess, removed part of a wall that a Banksy mural was on in the London neighborhood, and it showed up in Miami. And they're now. Here's the thing: I would love to see if he would make a statement and say, "No, I didn't do that," because they're thinking this thing will go for like $500,000. Now I have some friends who they're graffiti people too. And they've done stuff. Here's the funny thing, like Shepherd Fairey, if you knew him and stuff, he'll send you stencils, you know, so that you could do some work for him. You know, that's why it seems like his stuff is, permeating in other cities where you think, how can he be everywhere? You know, a lot of these people will like get like helpers and stuff. So I just, you know, it would be cool if somebody says, no, that's not a real Banksy for the idiot that, stole this piece of mural. you know, because he did actually, somebody actually said that he did come out and say, you know, it should have been, you know, somebody should not have removed it from the wall, you know, type of thing. But they're thinking it'll go for like $500,000. It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the neighborhood people are not happy that somebody stole it.
Stole their wall.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this news about who's going to be playing the Equalizer?
No, who?
Denzel.
Nice. Ooh, really?
That's kind of cool.
Huh.
Will he have a toothpick in his mouth?
Directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, who did Drive, right?
Well, Sorry.
He was in talks, but he left, and now Rupert Wyatt. Rupert Wyatt. Who? What has he done? He apparently was in talks to do Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which is apparently coming, which surprisingly I might want to see. It looks like he directed Rise of the Planet of the Apes. If so, not bad. Dun dun dun! Yeah, that was actually, I was surprised at how well Rise of the Planet of the Apes was. It was actually really good.
So who's redoing the theme song?
To the Equalizer?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's the equivalent of Moby now?
Oh, you know, Clive Revell would be good.
They'll give it to
Or the guy that works for Trent Reznor, whose name completely escapes me right now.
Atticus Finch?
Yeah, he'd be good.
Atticus Ross, yeah. Atticus Ross.
Yeah.
Hmm. No, I'm.
Although they may be busy with his band for a while, so.
Yeah. But I'm sure that with that done, they can still find, you know.
Yeah.
Although I'd like to point out that I still think Warren Ellis would have made a better Equalizer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With a cane and that car and the snub-nosed pistol. Scare the shit out of you.
Well, that's okay. You can just imagine. Well, you can read his books and imagine it's him.
That's true. I still need to read Gun Machine.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I will. Well, I mean, you guys read his first one, right?
Crooked Little Vein? Yes.
I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, you should. It's completely fucked. I highly recommend it. It's wrong. Okay. It will make you feel dirty.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Not like any of us need help with that, but.
No. Yeah. Not at all.
No, not one bit. Dun dun dun! What? Oh. I have no idea.
On soap.
Oh, and let me just throw this out. Richard Brears died.
Yeah.
So I would say this that to dear listeners, first of all, it's available from like Warner Archive now, finally in print on DVD, A Midwinter's Tale, which Kenneth Branagh directed, and it's absolutely fucking hilarious. It is, if you've ever done any theater work whatsoever, and you haven't seen this, you need to hit yourself in the head with a shovel and then see it. By any means necessary. It's fucking brilliant. He is great at it. But yeah, that really, really sucked. And now, okay, so here's a question.
And check out The Good Life. I'm sure that's on Netflix and stuff.
So my next question is, apparently I had forgotten this, that he was in Cockneys versus Zombies with Alan Ford. Has anyone seen that?
No.
That's, the James Moran thing, right?
Is it? I don't remember. Let's see. Looking up now. Yes. Yes. Yeah. First of all, Alan Ford was the bartender in Lockstock and then returned to play the heavy in Snatch and is a fucking genius. So I'll watch anything that he's in. Especially if it involves guns. So you give them guns and zombies, and I'm extremely happy.
See, that's why I'm saying it's just easier to imagine Downton Abbey being surrounded by zombies.
You know what? I'm going to go back to the first episode, which I couldn't finish watching, and try it that way. Thank you for that tip.
Because then it literally is Maggie Smith is in the British version of The Walking Dead, which is just much cooler.
Yeah.
What? What was that? Who sighed?
Scott.
Scott, what are you talking about?
Oh, nothing. I'm not sighing about anything at all. Yeah.
I think we may have a new competitor for sleepiness in the podcast.
Dun, dun.
Okay, all right.
Sleep
So
motherfucking sleep off.
And so I really need someone to explain this to me. I'm so confused. So is X-Men Days of Future Past going to be the sequel to First Class?
Seems that way.
I think so.
It's going to be the sequel to both First Class and X3.
No.
What he said is, what he's going to do is it's going to be a continuation of First Class, but since there's the element of time travel going back into the previous films, he's going to go back and try to fix a few things that were in the film that wasn't his.
Fuck.
Now, I have to say, Brian, while you're at it, could you fix the shit that was in your films too, please?
How about, can you just not make another movie?
No, First Class was great. I would like Second Class. I don't know what the fuck this is. Now, but what I will say this is that this apparently was announced last week. The villain is going to be Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
But my question is, who the fuck is he gonna play?
Yeah, I'm like, who is the villain in that?
Well, I was gonna say, well, yeah, but the villain in the original one was the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Of which we kind of already have some there.
Yeah.
And now, the one thing that
either
would be
that cool, or he's playing a Sentinel or Master Mold or something, I don't know.
Well, the one thing that would be cool is if you do get to have, like, a older Wolverine in this, played by Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't sing.
Hey, what's wrong with him singing?
Nothing, but not as Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
You mean he hasn't done that? I'm surprised they haven't done a musical.
Do you hear
like,
the claws go snit?
Dude, don't
do
say
you
anything.
I'm amazed. I actually would love to see him on the Weapon X set of Wolverine Secret Origins singing Surrey with the Fringe on top.
That would be funny.
That would be great.
And, you know, Ian McKellen would actually sing it with him.
Totally. Nice.
I don't see. So it is like the Sentinels and the Brotherhood of Mutants. Now, I'm okay with some sequels.
I think Ellen Page is supposed to be in it for a bit. And some of the people from the earlier films were supposed to be in it for a bit.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Well, all right, fine. Terrified, but okay.
No word on Alan coming just yet.
It's just something to talk about at Batman.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Just think of Pacific Rim.
All right, now,
why
Scott,
do I not think of the word you and Rim in the same sentence coming together as being not implausible?
Thank you, Rob.
Come on.
Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim to Scott. It reminds him of the Hawaiian he tried to pick up in the luau bar.
Well, you know what? I mean, I will say this. It gives Scott gives new meaning to the term kaiju rocket punch.
Ouch.
I was going to go for a Hawaiian
donkey punch?
Punch, Joe, but You did better, so I'll give you that.
For certain definitions of better.
Hey, mister, would you like a Hawaiian punch? No, that's...
Kim,
you're
going to get off this podcast and you're going to do a sin thing where Scott goes to Hawaiian bar now, aren't you?
I don't think I have a sim Hawaiian bar in my game.
Okay.
Well, you've given her a goal now. Oh, shit.
That's all right.
That's okay. I'm sure there's plenty of empty Hawaiian bars in Second Life.
That's okay.
There's plenty of empty everything in Second Life.
If we could just figure out a way to get to record something in Simlish.
That would be awesome. No, Second Life is populated entirely with like PR social media managers from companies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They just kind of hang around and talk to each other.
Wasn't Second Life and Sony Home sharing the same universe or something? I'm not sure.
Well, I just remember when basically Metron showed up and he was from Third Life. And never mind. That was really obscure. All right, so we should probably...
Okay, I'm a brand new comics fan. You can't start pulling things that are that...
Okay. Oh, he's been doing this the entire time this show's existed.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I know, but now I can get some of them, so it just makes it more obvious when I don't get one.
Now he's going to have to work harder for the references you don't understand.
So, Kim, you know what you've had right there?
What?
You've had a Winged Monkeys moment.
Hmm? Like in Avengers?
Yes!
Yeah. I got that one!
No, I just wanted to give Kim an Avengers moment to cheer her up.
Thank you, Witch.
Although, oh God, okay, real quick, talking about Converse, I will say this. I don't know how I saw, maybe it was like an ad on the site since I was looking at Converse stuff, and my own site was going, buy some Converse, Witch. I'm like, fuck you! But they have like Chinese New Year black snakeskin chucks.
Yeah.
Which look fucking badass. And I'm like, I never thought I would be looking at Chucks again and going, I'll have that. But I would have that. Now, granted, I need to sell a kidney because they're $100 goddamn, but which, as I understand it, is only $5 more than regular Chucks. So
regular Chucks, they're like $55 for the ones you can get, and they're $70 for the custom ones.
Well, which, look at it this way, it's still a down payment on a pair of Jordans.
That's true. And I will say that, you know, $55 used to get you some Chucks and a hand job. So, no, that was just at the outlet store, but
Chuck.
Yeah. What was that, John?
The hand job was by Chuck.
And by that, you mean Chuck Connors?
Yes. Not Chuck Norris, because he would just rip the damn thing off.
Oh dear.
And not Chuck Wagon.
That's a different missing in action.
Oh, wow.
Well done, sir.
That is missing in action, too.
Or if you're Lance Armstrong, one.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Hey, I'm Kim. I'm reading this Uncle Scrooge comic. And in this comic, you can get authentic Star Wars t-shirts.
Oh, I got a whiplash from the chase.
$5.50.
I was so thinking you were going to go with, I'm reading this Uncle Scrooge comic and there's naked Jeremy Renner in it.
Oh,
no,
wow.
There's naked sea monkeys, though. And it's got a crown. One of them's got a crown.
Well, honey, it's sort of, if you squint, it's sort of Jeremy Renner.
No. There it goes.
Oh, wow.
And they're playing like Leapfrog naked.
See?
Whoa. Oh, wow. That's painful.
Now you're just being mean.
That is a completely different version of Gladstone. Sorry.
I've been dancing with Mr. Gladstone and...
What?
What? Nothing.
Don't worry about it.
Lay off the peeps!
You'll catch it in post.
It's just his appetite for destruction and disco peeps.
Oh my God, I don't even know where I got these. These are on my iPad. I've got like 25 Uncle Scrooge comics. There's a ton of them.
I have no... That's the same excuse I use with my wife. I have no idea how this porn got here.
I know.
Now, wait.
House.
Wait, Ross.
Your iPad and on purpose put Uncle Scrooge comics on your iPad.
Yeah.
Now, Rocks, yeah. Careful. You may have the Uncle Scrooge virus. I mean, all it does is put Uncle Scrooge comics on your machine of choice. But I mean, now if that happens on like a Texas Instruments calculator, it'll fuck you up. I'm just saying.
Well, that's kind of the shitty Uncle Scrooge virus. Don't you want the other one where, you know, every room you're in is flooded with gold?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, see?
Oh, yeah.
That one is preferable.
Now, wait a minute. Before anyone signs up for that, I'd like to mention that some of you fell asleep during the class that Rox gave on villainy. And she pointed out that you can flood a room with gold a la Game of Thrones. So just be careful what you ask for. See?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to be in it while it's happening. I mean,
I mean,
you tough. You come in afterward.
You'd like to sit back and watch, you know? Sadist.
I do like to watch. What are we talking about? I zoned out there for a minute. What were we talking about?
Uncle Scrooge and his dirty money. Dirty money.
With his dirty little hands.
Yes.
I don't think ducks have hands.
Uncle Scrooge or does. Pants. Are you going to dispute Disney, Kim?
Yeah,
really?
To Uncle Walt, they have hands.
They have like sort of prehensile feather thing.
Well, he's holding a cane.
Kind of disturbing.
And well, see, money.
Now, see, Kim. Here's what happened. Okay, this will appeal to your fledgling comic book mind.
Get to ask your parents.
Is that basically what happened? Was once he got all this money, he could afford to be genetically re-engineered by the high evolutionary to have hands.
I don't think I've got that far back yet.
Oh, it'll come to you. Don't worry. It's Marvel. They redo everything.
Ah.
And Disney does it. Yeah, they redo everything too.
Oh, wait. So that means Atlantis attacks again?
Yeah, it does.
Yes! And it's the Disney Atlantis, Tuffley.
And Ariel gets killed.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
Alanis
Morissette.
I really wanted that in there.
No. That's the way no. No.
That was a completely different crossover, Scott.
No, I've got it. Ariel goes batshit crazy and warps the universe into a world of her own making.
And turns everybody into
sea. That sounds plausible.
And Sebastian punches the wall.
Don't you know you got to punch the wall?
All right, okay, real quick.
There's too many universes.
Wait a minute,
punch
wait a minute.
The wall.
Sebastian was red, right?
Yes,
so he was already a zombie.
He was already, yeah, exactly.
He was already
dead. He was already cooked. Type that in, Widge.
Sebastian was dead. He was already cooked.
There you go.
Now, let me tell you something.
He could have had a dye job.
Now, Scott, because I figure you would know about this. How do you deal with zombie crabs?
More head?
Really, really, really tiny shotgun.
Does this involve going to the Cobb Energy Center?
No, any energy center will do. It doesn't have to be the Cobb Energy Center.
Oh, my God.
It can be your local energy center.
Oh.
Zombie they crabs. Band name, I call
charge.
It.
It could be your local TV CDC.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. All right. So we should probably move towards recommendations before something else happens. Or Ariel returns from the dead, gets a whole bunch of power, and destroys an entire galaxy of broccoli people. So you're probably not there either. Kim, it'll come to you.
Volume 3.
Yes. No, that would be called LM3.
I think Bendis wrote that.
He seems to write a lot of things.
He does.
I see that name often.
Yes, but make sure to read the first couple of pages and decide if it's good Bendis or evil Bendis. Good Bendis, good. Evil Bendis makes you cry.
Did Evil Bendis write Ultimates?
No. The good Bendis wrote the first 12 issues of Ultimates. And then, due to the artist taking too long, the 13th issue of Ultimates transferred to Evil Bendis because it was a complete, letdown.
Cause see, I looked at the first trade at the used bookstore and I was flipping through it and I concluded that Ultimates ruins everything and makes it not fun.
Oh, I had a shitload of fun with Ultimates.
I don't know. I got to the point where they said Captain America was because of steroids and plastic surgery and I'm like,
what?
This one's not for me.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
That's what it says.
Now, they may have been joking around because of that, but Kim, I will say this.
It did not seem to be in context. I was like, what?
Well,
no.
Hang on. No. Kim, I will say this, is that to me, I like Ultimate Captain America, and I've said this many a time, is because my Captain America can walk up and kick the Hulk in the nads. How awesome is that? Yeah. It's fucking badass. But anyway, so yes, you should try it. It's fun. You also have stuff like, Cap thinks parachutes are for sissies. I was waiting for that in the Avengers movie, actually.
But doesn't he go splat then?
Oh no. No, this is Ultimate Captain America. He's a fucking badass.
It's just, everyone seems like kind of a dick.
Well, a bit. But it's, I mean, the other thing too is you have to remember.
He's from a simpler time.
Well, a time when there were more dicks?
When women knew their place, madam.
And that had to do with dicks. Anyway. Oh,
I think Tuffley's sending me voicemails.
No, Kim, you have to understand, at the time, see, you live in a post-Avengers movie world.
This is true.
There was a time when the Avengers sucked, okay? And they couldn't get their shit together. And it was basically like literally them scrambling around. It was like the Detroit Justice League years perpetually. Okay. Tuffley will explain later. Anyway, the point being is that so when the Ultimate showed up and there were actually interesting, powerful, crazy, but yes, somewhat dickish characters, it was a nice change of pace.
So they were dickish but effective, is what you're saying.
Oh, they're incredibly effective. It's basically they decided to take the authority. You'll read that eventually.
And, I know about the authority.
Oh, well, there you go. They wanted to make the Marvel authority, in essence.
Because, okay, so brief story about this. So we bought our cat some cat food, and the brand name of the cat food is Authority Cat Food. So I told Tuffley that I was picking out Midnighter flavor.
Nice. Very nice. But and if it came in a leather container, that would be even better.
Well, it's black.
Ah.
Black, well, and kind of dramatic looking.
I automatically approve. Anyway, so who wants to go first? Recommendations. Go, Rob!
I think I...
Let Tuffley go.
Oh, go Tuffley!
Okay. I will start out with the new Nick Cave record. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds have a new album out. It just came out as we're recording this. It's called Push the Sky Away. And it's quite good. It seems like... and the thing is, and I think we may have mentioned this the last time Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds put a record out, the Grinderman thing kind of looks like it rights the ship. So I don't know. Maybe they need to go do a Grinderman 3 and then we get, you know, another really good Nick Cave record. But this one's really good. Check it out if you're into sort of the mellower, Bad Seeds records. So nice stuff there. I will also recommend, and a bit of a left turn, for the, Brian Ferry Orchestra. There is an album out called The Jazz Age. And what this is basically, Brian Ferry does not sing on the record, which for some of you might be a good thing. But he does, what he ends up doing is he's rearranging, tunes from Roxy Music and some of his solo stuff under the guise of 1920s swing.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And has basically had a jazz recomposed with a jazz band, some of his Roxy Music stuff and some of his solo material, under that sort of thing. So it's really cool to listen to and to, check out the songs on that. So it's called The Jazz Age. And it's from the Brian Ferry Orchestra. Very nice there as well. I think, are we back before the Johnny Marr record comes out, Rob?
When does that hit? I thought that, didn't that already hit?
I believe it may be out in the UK, but it's not out here yet. It's out here. It may be, I think, in the bye week, or it may be the week we come back. But
right. Check it.
The album's called The Messenger. You can stream it on NPR, but if you don't buy this record, Rob and I will come over to your house and daunt you.
It's coming out a week from today.
Okay. So, yes, it would be the bye week then. So, so please check that out. And I am done for now.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, thank you, Dovely.
Oh, yeah, and the iPad is really, really cool.
Yay!
Yes,
yay!
Yes it is. So is the iPhone.
whatever.
Oh, God. So you're finally free from your horrible chain?
Oh, let's not go there again.
Yes. It is. Let me tell you something, John. Here's one of the best ways to avoid problems with all kinds of machines and software. Don't upgrade. I would love all these people like, oh, I upgraded to 6.1 and now all these things are going wrong. It's like, why? Why did you upgrade? Just wait. They'll fix it. It's like WordPress. That's why everything is like, well, 3.5 is available. 3.5.1 is available. 3.5.2 is available. Just fucking wait. Just relax. Anyway, I'm fucking loving the iPhone. Oh, it's so good. Anyway.
Hooray.
Hooray. Yes, indeed. All right. Yes. So who's next?
I am.
Go, Scott.
Actually, I will recommend the House of Whimsy. I recently gave a fairy door to a lovely couple and their little child, and they absolutely adored it. It was
you just walk up to people and randomly hand them gifts?
No. Okay. These are friends. It was the door for the home for wayward ladybugs.
Nice.
And they thought it was absolutely adorable. So if you want to have something cute to give to a little child so they can think, oh, wow, fairies are coming in my house, you can go to Etsy and look up House of Whimsy and order one there. And they cool. come with cute little descriptions about what they are and what they do. And they're just cute.
I got it right there.
Yes, that is from Cosette and her zany fairy doors, which include ones with carnivorous plants and squid pets. And
guard slugs.
And guard slugs, yep. So it's important to have your guard slugs. So,
and
cool.
wayward ladybugs, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they do that. Cool. All right. Thank you, Scott. The new
and I'm done.
Well, I already gave you your boner.
Well, it was interrupted.
Turn.
Thank you.
I think that's a boing.
It's a boing.
Sure.
But for
unless
Scott,
it's cold
it's
outside,
a
then it's a ting.
I don't think it's a boner if it can walk downstairs.
Oh, my.
A loner repairs.
Well, if you're Lance Armstrong alone.
Hey, Widge.
Hey, Rob.
Can I also mention, too, that with the fairy doors, you can get a, if you know someone who's a Doctor Who fan, a Sylvester McCoy-approved TARDIS door.
Ah, yes. TARDIS fairy doors. Yes, indeed.
So.
Dun, dun, dun. Doctor approved. So, cool. All right. Rox, I think you.
Yeah, I'll go. Okay. I'm sort of converting my library to sort of more reference. So I picked up some art books over the week. And I picked up from the street artist. You've probably seen the guy's work. He's a photographer that works with train model people. His name is Slinkachu, and he's got a book, Global Model Village, where he takes and you're talking, these are HO scale. So for you train fanatics, these people are like really, 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 really small. So he uses the photography is really cool because he has like one photograph, you know, shot regular so you can see the scale. And then he does this really great macro setting on his photography. It's really cool. You can go to Slinkachu, and that's Slinkachu. He's got a website of some of his photography. And the cool thing is this is stuff you'd almost want to see in real life. You know, sort of like, you know, coming across people that make fairy doors and leave them in public and stuff. He does this with like people walking around with like a Lego type stuff, or people shopping, and he uses the regular size tags, so it looks like, you know, almost like balloons and stuff. There's a really cool one where this guy is contemplating a statue of a cigarette butt. So, really cool on that. Which is reminiscent of, the photographer Brian McCarty, who, did a really cool shot. He uses, toy scale stuff, and mainly a lot of the urban toys. He did a photograph of Master Shake in a Las Vegas pool. And I actually got Dana to sign, that one image, which is really cool. Dana Snyder. And he too does a really cool thing with, macro setting, and he'll actually set up a scene with several toys, and they look really, you know, it's almost, when you think you can't photograph a toy with sort of feeling, this guy can do it.
Is this the guy that sets them up and takes pictures and then like leaves them there and takes pictures slinging them, or is that somebody else?
Slinkachu does. He will leave the stuff. McCarty, his is more of a higher end. I don't think he leaves the stuff. Because A, some of the stuff. Similar. I think Slinkachu leaves his stuff. McCarty
does the little installations and then waits for people to see them and takes pictures of their reactions.
Yeah, he does. Because somebody in Slate wrote an article about, you know, those installations are really cool if you can actually see them.
Find one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why, like, when I do, like, my little tagging and stuff, I do small stuff. Because A, the cops don't notice you, and it's kind of neat when you come across something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, that's different, instead of it hitting you across the face because it's, you know, several blocks large, you know. So, anyway, those are my two picks, art picks.
Yay, art.
Art.
Cool. Thank you, Rox. All right. Who's next? Go, Kim.
Okay. I have a bunch.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I've got a video game recommendation, and it is actually for the PlayStation 3, branching out system-wise a little bit. It's
somebody
called,
owns one of those?
The title's in Japanese, so forgive me, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But it looks like Ni no Kuni, and then the subtitle is Wrath of the White Witch. And it just came out pretty recently, and it is a JRPG, but all of the graphics are done by, and I'm not entirely sure the right, it's Studio, is it Ghibli?
It's or Ghibli.
Ghibli is
like, actually them.
I've heard Ghibli or Ghibli.
Yeah. Well, they did Ghibli. The, like, all the cutscenes and stuff. And
oh, wow.
And it has that animated style, and it is beautiful. It's really, really, it's very charming, and it's something I like to see, where instead of using the graphical capacity of the machine to push polygons, they actually have used it to make the art just seamless. So the cutscene, going from the cutscene to playing the game, there's like no change in the graphics. You feel like you're just controlling parts of a cartoon. And it's very, very charming. And I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm only kind of in the first 10 hours or so of the game, and it's a JRPG, so I'm sure it'll be really, really long. But if you like the sort of classic, you know, like the kind of stuff you played in, you know, the like the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 1 era, some of the, you know, the good Final Fantasies, where you have, it's not quite turn-based, it's sort of a hybrid real-time combat system, but it's got like a familiar system, so it's kind of got a Pokemon-like element to it, where you can capture animals and use them to fight with you, but it's got the little RPG, and the graphics are just adorable. They're really, really, really nicely done, and it's just a pleasure to watch and play. So that's been a lot of fun. And then, so that's video gaming. I have, as you may have noticed, been getting into comics lately and have been reaching out and exploring a lot of stuff. I think I've already recommended the current run of Hawkeye, which is so, so, so good, you guys. if you're not reading it, you need to be reading it because it's amazing and awesome in all ways. And it's just so good. Hawkeye is like a perfect gateway drug as a comic because all of the arcs are like one or two issues long and you don't have to have backstory knowledge and everybody who they bring in, they introduce, you know, you don't have to know, like, Kate Bishop, who is the female Hawkeye from the Young Avengers is in it too. But you don't have to know the Young Avengers. You don't have to have read the books that she's introduced in. Like, it introduces her sufficiently. And then they just go and have adventures and it's awesome. So that book is really great. I'm also reading the Young Avengers, this is the volume 2 of Young Avengers, which got a new volume. And it's so hard because it's Young Avengers volume 2 and issue 1 was the first issue that just came out in January. And the next one isn't coming out until March 16th, I think. But that's done by the same creative team who does Phonogram, which you've heard me gush about many a time. And it's the reason why Phonogram 3 hasn't come out yet. Boo. But so far, it's really, really intriguing, and I'm looking forward to reading that. So that has been really good. And I've caught up on some of the backstory of the Young Avengers, and I've enjoyed that. But the other new one that I just got this week is Captain Marvel. And I picked up the first collect. Now, Captain Marvel is another one. Apparently, Marvel has been fairly smart with it and has done a lot of kind of new number ones on a lot of their books to sort of cater to people who are coming in because of the movies.
Oh, Kim. Oh, you're...
Maybe this is something they do a lot, I am guessing.
Oh, the idea that there's any... we want to do this just like we've done this every other year for the new people coming in. Oh, that's so sweet. I can't tell you how...
Well, there's
refreshing
a difference...
it is.
There's a difference between what they're doing now with the new number ones and then just arbitrarily changing the numbering and changing it back to get new number ones.
Well, so, I will say the ones that I have read do seem to be starting with a story that I can follow without having to know a huge amount of backstory.
Yeah, it's basically restarting a story or starting a story arc with it, not, oh, we're going to change from 517 to issue number 1. Oh, but it's still the same storyline going on, so you have no idea what's going on.
All I can say is, Tuffley, it is your job as her spouse to protect her from the heartbreak that is going to happen when the next writer comes on to whatever book that she loves and undoes every fucking thing that she holds dear.
I've been warning her about this because she wants to read some of the Bendis stuff, and I'm like, no, not the end of Bendis. You don't want the end of Bendis.
You read the new Avengers, and then I'll tell you when to stop, okay? And then-
So what would happen if Bendis wrote an Uncle Scrooge comic?
It would have lots of really short word balloons.
Okay.
I'm sure it involves launch pad and some sort of alternate reality and realities merging, and I don't know.
Okay. Does he kill Donald?
Probably.
All right.
Or at least Goofy gets it. Which, by the way, Kim's really not going to mind because Goofy got her killed a lot in Kingdom Hearts, so it's fine. It evens out.
Okay.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Fucking Goofy and Donald.
Man.
You're doing what?
Started on that.
See episode of Gru Cafe where this is mentioned in detail, I believe.
He probably did come up.
Yeah.
Nice.
So your recommendations.
So I picked up Captain Marvel in Pursuit of Flight, which is the first trade that has come out of the newly number one Captain Marvel book. And I am given to understand through Wikipedia that Captain Marvel used to be a dude. But this Captain Marvel is a lady. And she's pretty awesome.
It's Carol Danvers.
Okay, just checking.
Okay. Yeah. So apparently she used to be Ms. Marvel and used to be drawn really titsy and annoying.
And also used to be half of Rogue.
Oh, yeah. Mike tried to catch me up on that whole thing and I just kind of...
And gave birth to her own lover.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm ignoring any of that. Book Captain Marvel in Pursuit of Flight. And good.
Why didn't he just buy an airline ticket?
She's a pilot. No, I mean, there's a lot of things I like about this. And one of them is that she gets to be Captain Marvel, which is a rank, but it's gender neutral. She doesn't have to be Marvelette or Marvel Lady or Miss Marvel anymore. She can be Captain Marvel, and I like that. I also like that the new costume they have her in is, like, it's neat looking, it's sharp, and it's, you know, it looks like you could fight crime or whatever in it, but it doesn't have a boob window. It's not like, you know, here, look at my ass. It's cool. Like, it looks great, but it's not stupid, like a lot of, because the barrier to getting into comic books, especially a lot of the superhero comic books, is you flip through it as a woman and you're like, whoa, this is porn. I don't need this, you know, and not even the kind of porn I would like, but just ridiculousness.
What kind of porn?
Yeah,
do you
well,
like?
I'll tell you though.
Ask John.
Don't go there, John.
Things have changed a lot, but it's gonna take a lot if she expects to make a major Marvel.
The ceiling is still there.
It's a die-cut chromium ceiling.
She outranks Captain America. But,
wait, aren't they both captains?
Well, when she was in the military, she had a higher rank than he did.
Yeah, but none of them outranked General Zod, so.
There is some, there's some banter to that effect.
See, I was going to go for a jet joke, but it's okay.
If you've heard people talk about that, which the Bechdel test is basically, are there two female characters who have names and talk to each other about something other than a man? It is a very, very low bar for having good representations of both men and women in your comic. Because a lot of times if you look, there's like one lady. You know, I mean, Avenger, as much as I love it, I mean, you have Pepper and you have Natasha. And you have Hill, but they are, I mean, I don't know if any of them ever even talk to each other. And then, you know, so this is kind of a nice subversion of that in that almost everybody in this book is actually a lady. And it's a kind of a female centric story. Not that it's about, you know, tampons or whatever. That's not what I mean, but that it's about a group of women and, you know, they're quite quiet. And it's,
well, what else do you ladies talk about?
Not something that you very often get. I mean, even with Young Avengers, there were only two girls in the Young Avengers, and one of them gets killed off. So it's actually really hard to find a time when you have, you know, more than one woman fighting crime together. So it's actually a nice, refreshing change. It's actually written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, who is married to Matt Fraction, who writes Hawkeye. So apparently this is a family that I should hang out with because we get along. Call me.
What I hated was that comic. Remember that comic where you had the two female crime fighters and they were going to talk about a man, but they realized that the they were going to talk about the villain they were fighting and they realized he was a man. And if they talked about him, then that would mean that they were stereotypical. So because they couldn't communicate about him, they both got killed.
I mean, that's probably the version of Birds of Prey that Gail Simone didn't write. You know, that period when she left the title and they had like three other people try to write it? Yeah, probably that.
Anyway, yeah, the first collection, I think that the run is up to like issue 12, but the first trade came out in January. The second one, I think, is coming out in May. So if you want to do it just that way, you can. I will say there's two different artists who work on it, and I like one of them a lot more than the other one. But I think that the one I like more is actually the primary artist on the title. So, and that's another thing with Hawkeye too, is they have different artists that work on it, and I really, really, really like one of them, and the other one I'm kind of okay with. But it's been interesting getting into all this. I've been told that I would probably like Avengers Assemble because the same person is writing Avengers Assemble now. But this is how we got talking about Bendis, is that Bendis wrote the first arc and then she picked up with the second arc. So I think I'm just going to skip the first trade and go straight to the second one because it's called Science Bros. How awesome is that?
I'm sorry. It sounded like you said Science Bros.
Yes, she did.
That is the title of the second Avengers Assemble trade. And it's about
the Neil Pikes and the Grasp becomes a pimp.
Tony Stark. like they have a bet or something and they do some sort of amazing race type thing. I don't know. It sounds like fun.
There was a DeGrasse Tyson reference a minute ago.
I got it. Scott is not amused by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Wow.
What did you got against Neil deGrasse Tyson? Shit.
He knew what he did.
Science? You're mad at him for science?
No, no, no. You have to... He blinded Scott with science.
So cut.
That bit in the song, Scott was the one dressed up as Miss Takemoto.
And those heels hurt.
Why did you have to do that? Why did you have to go and ruin the song for everyone else?
I thought everyone else already knew that. I'm sorry.
So Marvel is in my good books right now. How long that continues.
Don't worry, Kim. I'll be over here in the bitter ex-comic book readers bar, and I will keep a seat warm for you.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of us there.
Yeah. The party never stops.
Hawkeye is so good.
Don't spoil it for her. She may
I am trying to. I'm trying to protect her. No one protected me. Where was the person warning me? No one warned me.
Yeah, but to be fair, you were reading when Jim Shooter was running the show, so you know nobody had to warn you. You should have known better.
No.
Shafted.
Irrelevant.
No. The first trade I ever got was the Phoenix Saga, so I mean, I came in with a very high bar.
Parasite costumes, really? Really, Jim Shooter? Really?
He just tried to explain to me that character history.
No.
And I still don't understand.
Drink something first. Drink something first.
Always hydrate.
Hydrate. Yes. Marvel continuity?
Sure.
Yes.
Now make sure.
Particularly
make sure
cider.
Make sure you hydrate and not Hydra, because that's completely different.
Hydra's bad. I know that.
That's awesome.
This is cute.
I know. This is great.
Science not.
Going to keep her there, Tuffle? Are you going to keep her?
But when she reads the new Nova comic, it'll all be over.
I also have another one that I've read the first bit of that's good is Saga.
That's Brian K. Vaughan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a science fiction...
Saga?
Yes, something like that. It's kind of a Romeo and Juliet-esque science fiction story. It's really cool.
Jim, we're here when you need us. Just call us now.
We'll have some gin waiting.
I like gin.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrate with gin. There you go, kids. There's your tip. I may not be rocks, but I can tell you to hydrate with gin.
Yep.
The mixer is probably a little better for hydrating with.
What is?
Whatever you mix with the gin.
No, but that's why you include it. So you get the benefit of the gin and the hydration of everything else.
Interesting study that came out. Or not at all. Those that if you drink a diet soda with your alcohol as your diet soda as your mixer, you actually wind up 33% more drunk.
Really?
Awesome. That explains lead.
Because of sugar, because there's no sugar to absorb the to absorb the alcohol, so it jets right into your liver and bloodstream.
See, that's insidious because diet drinks taste like ass. So
Rob, but Lee drinks Tab. I mean, alcohol. Think about it. Alcohol and Tab. What are you doing more damage to, the alcohol?
People drink. Crown
you're doing damage to.
No, here's the deal: is that basically you're drinking the Tab and the alcohol is so terrified it leaps into the liver quickly just to get away from it.
What?
Tab. Oh.
Hmm.
Oh.
No. Sorry.
Tab is really, really nasty.
It is nasty. But it comes in that pink can.
Well, maybe Lee's trying to augment its nastiness by her sweetness.
See, I think we've learned something important this evening. We may not agree on Marvel continuity or lack thereof, but we can all agree that Tab is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to point out that Marvel can't agree on Marvel continuity.
Well, Marvel's yes, but
everything's in continuity because there's 15 billion in like alternate universes.
I know, they still can't get it right, Kim.
Like the one where Iron Man and Captain America got married and averted the Civil War. That was a thing.
What? Actually, you know what? That sounds better written than Civil War. So, okay, fine.
There's a thing. There's one of the universes where Iron Man is born a lady and she and Captain America.
But wait a minute. Is she Captain Iron or is she just Iron Girl?
I think she's Iron Woman. I'm not sure.
Well, actually, she starts off as Iron Girl and is then possessed by the Iron Mechanics and becomes an evil entity, but then isn't really the evil entity and is just buried under the Hudson.
Oh, right. I remember. And then basically they bring her, a young version of her, forward to the future. But she's still Iron Woman. And then she has a drinking problem, and yes.
And the pictures of her siblings are still fading because she hasn't gotten her parents together yet.
Yes, I remember that.
Now, how I remember it is completely different.
Yeah.
Is that it's set during the 80s, and then in an effort to improve relations, they put a superhuman suit that does all kinds of cool things on Margaret Thatcher, and she marries Captain America.
That was volume three.
The Iron Lady.
That was volume three, number one. And then inexplicably, the second issue changed into issue 699.
And actually, Rob, that is referred to in continuity as Earth 991.
But there's actually a drawing of it, and it's hilarious because they're both in like full suit, and there's just like a wedding veil duct taped to the top of the Iron Man helmet.
Okay. Is it Antonia Stark?
No, her name's Natasha.
Oh, I see.
If you Google Natasha Stark, you'll see information and a whole lot of fan art.
Arno Stark, come home. All is forgiven.
There's a lot of fan art and a lot of cosplay. So anyway,
Kim, what else you got?
So that's why Marvel's cool, is because no matter what ridiculous thing you think of, they've already probably made it like canon somehow. Also, they have these alternate covers where everybody's babies, and it's awesome.
Really?
God. Yeah.
Marble babies?
And Scott babies. Perked up.
So cute, Scott.
Well, because babies are cute.
Which I'm suspicious of.
And it's baby versions of the Avengers fighting baby versions of the X-Men.
Yes.
They're so cute. I actually went to the comic shop, and they had prints of one of them, and it's like they're all the little toddlers are climbing on the back of Toddler Hulk, and then Toddler Miss Marvel's holding them up, and they're trying to get the cookie jar, and Toddler Hawk has a suction cup arrow with a grappling line he's shooting. It's so cute.
I like that cover from Baby Secret Wars number 4, where Baby Hulk is holding up the bit of the sandbox that they've been buried in.
I don't understand what you just said.
This is fun. Just make a list, Kim. You can work it out on Wikipedia. You'll figure it out.
What about Skrulls?
Let's not go there.
So, Skrulls, do they take you over or possess you, or do they just look like you and take your place?
Obviously they have, because you're not you anymore.
Well,
you are you.
No, Kim, they are shapeshifters, and, I'm sorry for the Who reference. Tuffley just threw it on his mic. He's so disgusted. They are shapeshifters. They don't possess you. They sort of take your place, and, depending on the convenience to the story, either change back or can or cannot read your mind or something. Or forget that they can shapeshift and just fire lasers at you.
So if the Skrull was to, like, shoot out of its hands that looks like melty stuff, and it hits people and the people go melty, are they dead or are they being Skrullitized?
I don't know what Skrullitized means, But
I believe what? You pay extra for that when you buy a car.
God, it was a book I'm reading. Because it was a cliffhanger at the end, and it doesn't say, but I'm really worried about them.
Okay, Kim, yes? Here's the other thing that you need to understand.
Nobody dies.
No, people die, John. They just come back all the fucking time. Death is a revolving door in the Marvel Universe, Kim. You don't have to worry. Everybody comes back. Sometimes because of Skrulls. So, anyway.
Not to be too worried.
Yeah, don't be too worried, Kim. Just for God's sake, don't ever take it seriously. That's what happened to us.
See, because
of the wonderful things she does?
The thing is that, okay.
What are you talking to us, Willis?
Never a good idea to bring in a replacement for a dead person from an alternate universe because they're gonna be evil. You're gonna bring the evil version of them over by mistake and it's just not gonna go well for you.
See, that is why you need her on Help Me Rocks, because that's sound advice.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
But you want that person back.
Well,
it's worth getting their evil version.
Now, they Kim.
Goatee, but there's a goatee on their soul.
Kim, I will say this, though. In defense, the original Rocks was no fun at all. And the alternate universe Rocks we have now, she's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other one was a pain in the ass.
I think that's why alternate Rocks had her killed.
Yep.
Welcome to space number one in my crawl space. Jesus. All right, Kim, what else you got?
Did I recommend Amy McDonald yet?
I think you did on the last show.
Okay. Well, I wanted to recommend Amy McDonald, but if I did, then good.
But you should still get it.
You should still get it, because it's really good. And I recommended this already. I'm trying to go through the things that I'm listening to.
Are you listening to them now? Is that...
Did you just enter the vault?
Where are you? Is Uncle Scrooge in there?
And if so, just get some money out.
No. Toughly, the vault is where they keep the supervillains in the Marvel Universe. Don't get anything out.
I was talking about Uncle Scrooge's vault, which is a separate universe, which has gold in it.
Gold. Dirty
but how do
gold.
You know which? How do you know which one you're in?
Whichever one you feel as if you're in your mind.
Oh my God, is this some sort of geek version of The Secret?
No.
Okay, just checking. And by that, I don't mean The Secret from Young Justice.
Or Pop Secret.
I'm living in Marvel right now. I don't have the bandwidth for more than one.
That's okay, that will change.
She's not addicted. She's totally not addicted.
Yeah, she can stop if she wanted to.
She can.
I'm coming out soon, you guys.
John, just one fix, my ministry, go. Anyway, well, Kim, if you come up with something else, yell. But otherwise, let me get Rob started here. Rob, what have you got for us?
Well, obviously I'm going to buy a Coldplay record to get her back into the real world.
Wow, nothing. Wow.
That's okay.
Wow.
We're there for you. There's a place called therapy. We'll be here.
I think the other day, apparently comic book? That's their thing.
It's okay. It's okay, Kim. When you give up on Marvel, just run to Vertigo and
there might be
a chance.
But there won't be a Vertigo to run to. She'll have to get back.
But she can get the back stuff. That's fine.
She'll get confused and go to Count Vertigo, and then that's someone completely different.
I just like to...
Nice.
Okay. Anyway. I'm going to recommend a book first by Simon Garfield that did this really great book a couple of years ago called Just My Type, which was a history of typefaces.
Oh.
But he has a new book out, and I'm trying to get him to do some stuff for the zine to no avail. But he has a new book out called On the Map, a mind-expanding exploration of the way the world looks like. It's a history of math. It's awesome.
Ooh.
Oh, it's really good. It was on NPR, and it's amazing. It's sort of like the whole history of cartography in a way that's not boring, and explains why maps are important and some interesting things about maps and what they've done. It's just amazing. It's a great page turner. I can't recommend it any more than that. Also, as we alluded to earlier, we lost Richard Briers this week, who is pretty amazing. And if you see nothing else that he's done, I know Ridge recommended a few other things, but I would like to recommend his 1987 Doctor Who episode starring John's good friend Sylvester McCoy called Paradise Towers, where he played the chief caretaker, and it's hilarious. So I do want to recommend that. It's over the top first season Sylvester McCoy, so it's more slapstick than it is him being dark, but it's still great.
Warning, no companion in it.
That's okay. Richard Briers makes up for it. And to celebrate the return of Daleks on Westminster Bridge this week, which is awesome because they didn't tell anybody, and all these people in England woke up to see Daleks going across the Westminster Bridge. How fucking cool would that have been? Anyway,
that's cool.
I do want to recommend the William Hartnell serial, The Dalek Invasion of Earth, which is on DVD, and is the second of the William Hartnell Dalek stories. And if you just sort of want to get a feel of what the Daleks were like when they first started and kind of how scary they actually were written for the original series, check that out. It's great. Likewise, there's a new Doctor Who DVD this week. It's The Reign of Terror, one of the finest of the historical stories. Now, two episodes of it are missing from the BBC archives, so they animated it. And the animation looks great. It's really solid reconstruction. And if you just want to see sort of the original TARDIS crew in a historical adventure, if you like the Aztecs, maybe, look at this one. It's a very interesting idea. It's also the first time in Doctor Who where the actor playing the Doctor played two roles. So check that out as well. It's also quite great. And I do want to recommend, it's available on YouTube as well, this great show called Blandings. Has anybody else seen this yet?
Not yet, no.
Oh, it's the new Jennifer Saunders Timothy Spall series. It's sort of a chaotic, it's like this whole weird chaotic family that lives in a castle. It's awesome. But they're on YouTube. It's called Blandings. It is getting picked up eventually, I think, to come out over here, but it's Jennifer Saunders. And, it's Jennifer Saunders. So, I do want to recommend that. It is available, at least as of last week, it was available on YouTube, but I'm sure there are other ways you could hypothetically find it. So I do want to recommend that. And then it's a great – we talked about this on the podcast a little bit, but it is a great – the best time of year for music because everything comes out. In fact, the scale in the Me Coffee Cave that measures how often Tuffley and I are going to overlap in music, this is the time of year when it's at its most – dangerous. It's like DEFCON 4. So I do want to say yay to the Nick Cave record. It's also quite good, which stuff we talked about earlier. But I do also want to recommend a new record from Waves called Afraid of Heights. If you like sort of Best Coast, or if you like Jeff the Brotherhood, or if you like just sort of simple power poppy kind of stuff, I do want to recommend that. It is pretty amazing. So I do recommend that. Also, today, I heard the new Frightened Rabbit album, and I really like these guys a lot. They're called Frightened Rabbit. It's called Pedestrian Verse, and it's just chock full of very clever songwriting. It's got some grinding verginess to it that's also really good. I want to recommend that. And this band from Melbourne, Australia, called Alpine. They have an album called A is for Alpine, and it's really, really good. They won the Australian album, Australian Alternative Album of the Year, in 2012. And they sort of do that, jangle melody pop record sort of thing really well. And, it's really catchy and you will quite like that as well. So I do want to recommend that. And then, an interesting band called Thought Language, is out with a interesting little, that's, I'm sorry. It's an interesting record. Now, these guys sound like Catherine Wheel or Slow Dive. So if you like a lot of those bands or maybe like Wild Nothing, then, check them out. It's very good and, very tasty. So if you're a fan of the shoegaze Brignette. If you like, say, Joy Formidable or Curve or Old Slow Dive, this is the record you want. Thought of Language by Deadly Echoes. It's a really fun record. Very, very much a 4AD sounding kind of band, although it's not on 4AD per se. But it's also very good. So, yeah, I think that's it for me, Ding.
Cool. Thank you, Rob. All right, so, John, what you got?
I don't own the Blu-ray, but I imagine it's probably pretty cool because I love the movie. Skyfall has come out.
Nice.
And also, for Kim, why don't you go ahead and pick up for only $11 on Amazon, and if you have Amazon Prime, it can be there in your hands in 2 days. Obsessed with Marvel. It's a it's a little book that it's actually a game. It's got a little computer down the lower right hand corner. I got this for Christmas, and it tests your knowledge of the Marvel universe. And while you may not know all the answers, you'll get to know a lot of the stuff, and you'll soon see that a lot of people have died and a lot of people have come back. So that'll be fun for you. I'm sure that when my wife bought this for me for Christmas, that she went to needcoffee.com/the other thing that makes the server stay on.
Yes, that would be needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Oh, that's what it was. Oh, yeah.
Yes, and I was just looking that Skyfall Blu-ray has two commentaries on it, one with Sam Mendes and an hour-long making of, which seems pretty nice. Cool. Yeah, nice indeed.
So let me ask you something. We have established now then that Sean Connery, since he was Scottish, that James Bond has always been Scottish. Is that what we've officially established?
Well, didn't they mention that on Her Majesty's Secret Service? Wasn't there the thing about the lineage?
There might have been.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. So I think, John, I will just say yes.
Awesome.
Yes. So, John is absolutely correct. If you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon, if you were going to go to Amazon anyway, just bookmark that, use it, and you'll wind up at Amazon like you didn't go anywhere else. And it, Scott, can I get you a Kleenex? You all right?
What? Oh, am I breathing too loudly?
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
like, and by too loudly we mean at all.
I wait, hang on. This just said the calls are coming from inside the internet.
Love you, Scott.
Scott, if you keep it up, you'll go blind. I'm just saying. I don't even know. All right, so yes, but if you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon, whatever you were going to purchase anyway, you can purchase, and we get kickbacks for it. And it is a good thing. And by the way, John mentioned Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime is a good thing. As I mentioned before, if you have Amazon Prime, you can buy Ultra Ah. That's another reference Kim won't get. Now, so the two things that I wanted to mention are both actually music. They were in the most recent Music Monday. There's a band out of, Canada called, AU4. Their album is called, And Down Goes the Sky. And, as I mentioned, it is literally like, Delirium, Enigma, and Tool had a kid, and that kid got together and collaborated with, Benoit, what's his face from Cirque du Soleil, the composer. Jutras is how it's pronounced, is how it's spelled, and it should be how it's pronounced because that's how it's spelled. But the album is really good, and I'm quite pleased with it. Pleased with, World's End Girlfriend. That I also mentioned on Music Monday. I found the soundtrack to the film Starry, Starry Night, and it's lots of strings and orchestration and ethereal singing, and it's out of Japan, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and I am addicted to fucking strings. So, I highly recommend both of those things. Check them out, and you can sample them on the Music Monday and go from there. So.
Hey, Widge.
Hey, Rob.
Since you're hooked on strings, have you heard any of the This Mortal Coil records yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. Just checking. I thought you had this.
No. That's good stuff. Song to the Siren. Fucking amazing. Yes. So keep those cards and letters and strings coming. So, we have reached, with that, lurched into the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And I think, you know, just like every episode of Weekend Justice, I think we should all sort of stand around and pause and reflect on the mess that we've made, wonder who's going to draw the short straw to clean it up. That would be Lee. And in Lee's honor, we simply say, peeps.
Peeps.
Peeps, y'all.
No.
Yellow peeps. Purple peeps.
The intervention has to happen.
No, it will.
Teal peeps.
Well, this is
white peeps.
Peeps.
Bringing it back around again.
Peeps. Holiday peeps. Valentine's peeps.
Just, if nothing else, refrain from bedazzling your peeps.
Oh my gosh, then there's the peeps that are the bunnies and the peeps that are the chicks. There's no difference in the flavor, people. They're just a different shape.
What the fuck are you talking about? Pretend.
You can have the bat ones at Halloween. They taste like cocoa.
Well, I spit the head off them.
There's the Christmas tree peep. That tastes like the same as the chicken peep.
Just yeah, so the limited edition ones tasted like the air fresheners of the same shape.
Yeah, apparently.
But don't bite into those.
If they were smart, if they were going to do the 65 years of peeps, they should have made them taste old. Just saying.
Yes, they should have tasted like
sugar.
Old peeps.
Or,
what the hell's the difference?
Yeah, rocks. Or you could just leave them around until like 2 weeks after Easter.
That's right. Well, you know, Easter candy is out now, as Lee said. So by the time Easter shows up, those peeps will be stale. So eat them now.
Right. Don't conserve peeps.
Yes.
No hoarding. It's not like the Twinkies.
Hoarding. Yeah. Don't hoard your peeps.
So.
God, that sounds awful.
Purple peeps. Yellow peeps.
Ooh, I jailbroke my peeps.
What, Kim?
Jailbroke my Kindle. So that I could put on my own screensaver images. And now it works.
Oh, you did you put a peep on it?
Now I have comic book characters on it instead of like...
Put a peep on it. Put a purple peep on it.
Oh, there you go.
Right now I have Billy and Teddy from Young Avengers. They're so cute.
Well, you know what, Kim? That reminds me. What I need to do now is I need to like jailbreak my iPhone so I can remove the really annoying startup sound that you can't wait. Oh no, I'm sorry. That was my old phone. Ha ha ha.
Oh, you know what they could do?
No noise.
Here you go, Kim. They can make
your phone.
What?
What new phone did you get?
I got an iPhone 5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
They could make, Marvel superhero peeps just for Kim.
Seriously, it's like the technology I've needed my whole life.
You just need food coloring and a crayon.
Rocks, there's going to be a Flickr set by tomorrow. I'm just saying. You've given Kim a mission.
And I said, Siri, how do I get home from here? And she told me, and I got home.
Which I appreciate.
Fortunately, you weren't in Australia and wound up in the middle of nowhere.
You know, Kim, I navigate by the stars myself, but, you know, if Siri helps, that's...
Well, that's the good news is that you have, you know, Google Maps, which works.
Is my robot friend.
On that note, I'm going.
On that note, I must pee.
Yes.
I'm going to go ask Siri, how to get to the bathroom so I can pee.
Be curious as to know what exactly she says.
Oh, hang on. All right. Let's find out. Stand by. All right, I don't know how much you'll be able to hear this.
Okay, depending on what she says, don't immediately do it.
Okay. All right.
End the call first.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Here we go. Hang on. Stand by. See if you can hear this. Where is the bathroom?
Well, you're screwed.
Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, well.
Good luck with that.
Well, if it was Google Maps, it would have shown you exactly where your bathroom is.
You know,
because in the night they come through your house and they also take pictures inside.
No. What happens, John, is that the van goes through the neighborhood and then they run a little runner up the drain and it pokes out of the bathroom and like a little periscope and it takes pictures of your bathroom. So keep your bathrooms clean, people, because Google's watching.
That's right.
Always yeah. watching.
A fool's joke a couple of years back about wiring your internet through your plumbing.
Mm. Yeah, but that was the basis of Atlantis Attacks.
I thought it was the basis of a porn.
That's the basis for me to go. Bye!
Bye, Rox!
It was the basis for the Atlantis Attacks.
Yes, it was. Namor was trying to give free Wi-Fi to the ocean, and it was interfering with the sonar of whales.
It was also interfering with Aquaman's powers.
Right.
That's another universe.
That doesn't take much.
That was the Amalgam universe. And Tuffley leaves on that note. And on Tuffley's yeah. note of leaving, I am running I'll away. See you guys. Thanks. Bye. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Okay.
And Kim, oh, shit. I was going to tell her that that bye that I did was a reference to X-Men 111, where a character said bye, but she wouldn't get that. Bye.
And here's Dakota.
Huh.
Huh?
What?
Sorry, I felt like making a noise. Lee's gone, so someone has to make noises. Dun dun dun!
What? I'm sorry?
Haven't you learned yet, Lee, not to ask?